Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
It's the only show with better than average gas mileage.
I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope crew catches up on life. We take a look at the new shows launching this fall, and Jared has a job plan for America, but it relies on getting paid to eat Doritos.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
This is The Scope. I'm going to try to remember how to do the show.
You and me both.
For what I understand, this is episode 114.
114.
Our first episode since late June, where we're all together and it's not some pre-recorded mishmash of taped bits or convergence-related business or North Shore business.
I think we did a decent job of putting out some content over the summer. Yeah. It wasn't our regular shows, but we could have just, you know, done nothing.
We could have.
Instead, we got, three or four movie reviews out there, a couple of special episodes from Convergence, and your trip to the North Shore, and yeah. Adam did most of his work over on Zero Hour. So.
Yep. He did. He's jumping ship.
I was a free agent this summer.
That's good. I enjoyed your episodes over there, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. I had no idea he was splitting them up into like 25 episodes.
Yeah, that's so his new format. You record for 3.5 hours, and then he gets 2 months worth of programming out of it.
You are the new co-host of Zero Hour, I guess, at least for that time period.
I think I saw you make a weird face at my tease at the beginning, maybe resulting from my jobs plan for America. Were you surprised by that?
No, I was going to say, and I hope people listen
Whoa,
to the tease.
Wait a minute.
What?
Shane has new glasses.
Yeah, I know. That's my big summer thing.
I've seen them, so they're not new. You guys almost have matching glasses.
I know. It's weird. It's
I feel like toxic. I need to have some, too.
Which just one of us so looks more like Zachary Quinto right now?
I think you do. I was going to say that your tease at the beginning of the show, Jared, yes. might be one of your finest teases.
Oh, thank you.
I like that a lot.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know why I did.
It's my usual formula is, you know, two lines about what we're actually doing on the show, and then a third line involving one of the hosts, something ripped from the headlines.
Comedy of threes, Jared, is what it is.
Yes. So this one was, you know, the jobs plan for America.
Could you gain more money by eating different types of Doritos? Like the new taco retro bagged Dorito.
I mean, we're really looking at corporate sponsorship of America's workforce for this plan. So I'm not really sure if they're going to give you different values of money based on the products. Although I suppose if they're trying to launch a new flavor and you're eating in a public place, I could imagine that's going to command a higher dollar from the Frito-Lay company than eating them in the company of your own home or just eating a regular old. Everyone knows nacho cheese, so you're probably going to get your lowest rate eating that. But if you're going to, you know, something like a spicy lime chipotle taco bubblegum flavor, whatever they're launching next, that's going to command top
dollar. Tea Party guy is not going to accept anything with tacos in it.
No,
certainly.
Tea Party people just want plain Doritos. They don't want any sprinkling seasoning on it. They just want a very boring...
And by
boring
plain Doritos, you mean Ruffles, right? That's really what they want. Because they don't want anything that even sounds Spanish.
Those have ridges, though. That's too much.
Oh, well, then
that's
we're talking much. Like...
we're talking regular
Lays. Are we
Lays.
Talking Lays? Or are we talking... Can they get away with maybe a local brand like an Old Dutch, like we have here in this area?
We are talking... tobacco flavored Lays.
Okay,
that's what we're talking. We have to support.
You know, that
them.
Sounds like a fun Friday night.
I would give the lowest rate for Cool Ranch Doritos. By the way, I've never been a fan of Cool Ranch. That's my get that back
awesome.
To me.
I have two copies now.
Jared, throw that over here. Come on, Adam. First of all, you steal my glasses, and then
no, I had these. First.
Are you not a subscriber, Adam?
I'm not a subscriber.
Would
no.
you like a gift subscription? Because I have gotten the offer now to renew mine. And
we're
also
talking
give
about
a
Entertainment
gift.
Weekly, by the way.
Sure, I'll take you up.
I have been a subscriber to Entertainment Weekly probably for 15 years.
You
straight.
Have that? Is it that one or Rolling Stone that you have the lifetime subscription?
I have a lifetime subscription to Rolling Stone
that you
magazine.
Got for absurdly small amount.
$100
right?
I yeah. got it for.
That's ridiculous.
And it goes till 2000. I think they predicted my death in like 2056.
Okay. They're probably predicting their own death.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a print to Rolling Stone by then, I would be shocked.
If Snooki's still on the cover, or if she's on another cover, I'm predicting their death.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be Snooki or Steven Tyler still on the cover of Rolling Stone. So we're talking summer. Let's catch up. A lot of things have happened. We are now, I guess, we're not, I don't think we're officially into fall or autumn.
That usually kicks off around my birthday, around the 20th.
Whatever,
22nd, somewhere in
fall.
There.
Yeah.
But, you know,
the unofficial start, the non-meteorological start of fall has kicked
has
in.
Has passed. My child is now in first grade. Football season starts in earnest tomorrow, although it started Thursday.
That was the best game of the season.
That was a doozy.
It was a great game.
I caught part of the second half, or first half, and all of the second, and that was a crazy game.
Something else.
I have Aaron Rodgers on my football team. Thank you. And Jordy Nelson. So it was a good night for me.
My two least favorite teams in football right now. And
why do you hate New Orleans? They've suffered enough.
And never forget.
Crowd likes it too. I'm a little late on that. Hopefully I'll get back on the ball.
But it was a good game, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of football talk starting in the next show. But let's rewind. Let's talk about...
Oh, where's my rewind button? Rewind selector. That's a Flight of the Conchords thing. Anyway, go on.
You know, we really haven't...
got one of those fancy new Diet Coke cans, by the way.
Yes.
Where they just zoom in on the logo and it still works.
Dick.
It's a Dick can.
A Dick can.
So what did you guys do this summer? Adam, we'll start with you, besides getting new glasses like me.
What did I do? I didn't travel very much. Let's go over what I didn't do
instead. Yeah, let's really bring us down.
You didn't pay full price for an HP touchpad.
That's right. You got a touchpad for $99 when they went on sale and the entire internet became asshole. Well, you know, more assholes.
Yep.
I went up to the Lakes Brainerd area twice with some friends.
I saw those pictures.
Yep, no one
like
died.
Because you like to shop at Shopko?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And
was that the one of those events where you swinging at a pinata?
Yeah. Yes. we decided to get a pinata to celebrate someone's quinceañera, I guess.
I love his pronunciation. You should hang out with my daughter.
Someone was turning 15. Wow.
I don't know. There's a pinata. I don't. Why else would we be doing it?
What was in the pinata?
Candy,
condoms?
Candy. So at the
miniature bottles of booze.
I've seen those parties.
I've been to one of those, yeah.
At like Rainbow and Cub in South Minneapolis, where there's a heavy Hispanic population. Sorry, Latino population. The two words mean different things.
Do they? I did not know that.
Latino is more inclusive.
Which is Beaner still used by them?
Is that wetback, I believe, is the one you're looking for.
High wetback population.
they have pre-stuffed, I don't know, pre-whatever... what's the word that we were talking about?
A pinata.
Wow. So it had candy inside of it already.
A double stuffed burrito, I believe is what you call that.
Right.
Did it have Obamios in it?
Now, is it real, like, good name brand candy, or is it crappy Mexican candy?
No,
it
was
crappy wetback candy, Jerry.
Yeah, no high fructose corn syrup, real sugar only.
Nice.
There was like Smarties, and they're like those, like, frogs.
Laffy Taffy.
You know what? I'm lying.
Was shitty candy.
I'm remembering now we had to stuff it ourselves.
No, he's totally creating stories.
Yeah, I'm remembering now that we bought stuff. So anyway, we did that.
This is the worst storyteller ever.
I wore the pinata's head as we mocked it after we had killed it.
That's fair. Wow. It's a war trophy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You're sort of announcing your victor.
Yep.
I slayed this animal.
Look
made
at me.
Of
I've got
cheap paper and.
Paper mache and tissue paper.
Now, what shape did the pinata come in?
This was a bunny. This was
bunny.
A pink.
It was not
a
pink bunny.
Because often the traditional is like a donkey. Or burro. Yeah.
Yes, see.
Yeah. I often see the Dora the Explorer. How traditional
you beat
is
up
that?
Dora the... No.
That's a little strange.
Right?
Now, I could see I've beating up a monkey friend, but maybe not
Do you
Dora.
Tie it to the back of your pickup truck and then just drive it around?
I've seen Spider-Man.
What?
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Got a tiny little bug flying around here I'm trying to kill.
I see that. You are no Mr. Miyagi.
I'm not Daniel's
son.
It lasted pretty long. We at first we were like we used like a broom handle at first, thinking like we would just destroy it with
a bat. Right.
But that didn't do anything.
Then you need to break out the buckshot.
Exactly. Yep. So we got a bat and
candy was a little crunchy.
It took, you know, 5 or 6 good swings with the bat, but also very dangerous when you blindfold a person with a bat.
Oh, yes.
And we've been drinking for the last 4 days.
Sounds like America's funniest home video in the making.
Yeah.
So no injuries, though. I don't know.
Except for pinata.
Right. We named it.
The crowd wanted some injuries.
Oh, you wanted to give it a little personality?
Well, Molly named it.
Personification before you kill it?
Yeah. Did Molly name it and then campaign to release it to the wild instead of killing it?
Molly did sleep with it one night. So.
Wow.
Yeah. That's very frightening.
It was named Paolo.
Was this an anatomically correct pinata? What's going on here?
I don't know. Do pinatas have like four, or do real rabbits have like 4-foot long dicks? Because this one did. It was giant.
Not in my experience, but
where are they buying these pinatas?
From Sex World.
Of course.
So, yeah, I don't know. We did that. I went up to Duluth for only the second time ever for a wedding, and that was pretty fun.
Did you stay right on the lake?
We stayed
in a boat, a little dinghy.
That area called with the little Angies and grandmas and stuff?
It's just, what is it?
Yeah, there is a name for it.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway, I go there twice a year and I can't remember what it's called.
Anyway, the name of that area. That area. That's cool. The one time I'd actually been there, I was only there for like an afternoon. So it's pretty neat. There's a casino in downtown Duluth. Yeah. Which is
one street, really.
Yeah.
About 8 blocks. In ages. Last time I went there years ago, we went on during Halloween, I think, or it was around that time. And they were doing like the haunted ship with that iron ore ship they have docked there. That was kind of cool. You get to run around the ship and they, you know, try to scare you. And...
For the non-Minnesotans, Duluth is a city in the northern part of Minnesota, right on Lake Superior. Yep. It's probably the third or fourth biggest city in Minnesota. It's a huge tourist destination.
Big port town, too.
Yeah, it's fun to go. A lot of people like to go up there.
It's probably the biggest.
It's a gateway
city
to the north.
Yes. It's the biggest city outside of the metropolitan area.
Is it bigger than St. Cloud?
For sure.
I think so.
It's bigger than St. Cloud. I think it's Minneapolis, St. Paul, Duluth.
Yeah, I remember when we drove in, it was like almost as big as St. Paul. It was like 200,000 people, which was surprising to me.
Which I think Bloomington is on that list before Duluth.
Bloomington is 85,000 people, Bloomington, so...
I think that's more than
there's a northern suburb that's over 100 that was surprising to me. Like Coon Rapids is like 70,000 people.
Yeah,
let's look it up right now.
No, that's not necessary.
Weird anecdote. This is only for local people, but whatever. When I was trying to find this touchpad, there's a Walmart that supposedly had it in stock in what's called Vadnais Heights. And when I spoke into my phone for it to give me directions to it, because on Android you can say navigate to, and I said Walmart Vadnais Heights. It said, "Did you mean navigate to Walmart Badnais Heights?" Like. Bad, you know, Badnass. Yeah. And I was like, I bet no one's actually called that place Badnais Heights before, which I found out was wrong. And anyone that grows up in that area has called it Badnais Heights. So that's all.
That's good to know.
All I got.
This is the Adam summer of knowledge.
That's
I guess.
What Adam brings this to our show. What does he bring to Zero Hour? That's what I want to know. Is all the good? Is all the A material there?
I might have been stoned that night, so I think it was really good material.
I can't believe that for a second.
I don't know what else I did. I got it in the beta for the new Star Wars MMO.
Oh, sure.
The Old Republic.
What about Pottermore? Did you get in on that?
I did not.
Jared, you're always about Pottermore, aren't you?
No.
That's all he talks about. He loves Pottermore.
I don't care.
So have you played this thing?
Yeah.
You're in on it. Give us your first impressions. Can you, or are you in a non-disclosure?
There is an NDA, so
he can't really discuss
what you're allowed
Jared.
To talk about is limited, I guess.
Are there lightsabers in it?
There are lightsabers in it. There, yeah, so you get lights. If you, I don't know if you both of you remember Star Wars Galaxies, which was like an EverQuest era.
Remember it, never played
I remember,
it.
Yeah, I remember existing. And,
so in that
people
one...
People were sad when they decided to finally shut down the servers. Yeah.
Aren't they still doing that right now?
It shuts down in December.
There you go.
And so people think that the launch of the Old Republic will be like a day afterwards, but I don't know. In that one, you
might
want
to take a holiday.
Yes.
You could be like, you know, lots of different things, but like everyone wanted to be a Jedi.
Of course. That's what you want to do.
In this one, it's the same deal, but they made all the other classes like equally cool in some way.
So if I want to be a moisture farmer, it's a pretty kick-ass moisture farmer, right?
No, because
you're picking one of the most compelling occupations in all of this.
Because your nephew is going to leave once, go run some errands, and then people are going to come by.
He just
needs
to stick around for one more season. One more season.
Yeah.
Wow. So waste time with your friends later, Luke. That's all I'm saying.
So can regular guys kill Jedis easily?
Yes.
Okay, so there's some things in the universe they kind of have to...
No, Boba Fett killed Jedi guys.
Yeah,
Jedi,
I mean, not easily.
I think the original trilogy kind of built them up like Jedi as these, you know, mystics, like, oh, they're really powerful. And yeah, and then in the prequel trilogy, they kind of said, I guess you can... They're not that hard to kill.
Not as hard.
It sure was easy to kill all those little kid Jedis.
Oh, yeah.
They seem to be more kick-ass, yet easier to kill. I don't know.
If it's one-on-one, Jedis are good. If you got Jedis versus a gazillion battle droids, not so good, is what we're saying.
Overwhelming odds, Shane.
That's kind of the story of the saga, isn't it?
So it's a BioWare game, and it's a very... the single-player elements of it are really compelling, and I like it a lot, like the story that you... it's weird for an MMO to have a story, but this is story based. So
is it like two separate things where you're running in a story and then you can go do other things, or
no?
Linear in the sense?
Well, so like as you're playing, like there are quests that, you know, are like, hey, go kill these troopers, they're messing with our shit. But then as you're doing that, maybe someone in that you know, you find out, has turned on the Republic, if you're playing on the Republic side, and there's a cutscene, you see that happen, then you go and you tell your commanding officer, and then that guy shows up later and he's a boss in a dungeon that you have to. So it's hard to explain. There's no text, which is really weird. So in World of Warcraft or all those, you know, you go, you find a guy that has an exclamation mark above his head, you click on him, and he says, hey, go, you know, kill some guys for me, and it's all text. Mm-hmm. You just click accept and you go kill those guys. There's no text in this game. Anytime there's a quest, it's all cutscenes. It's all dialogue. It's all spoken and all that stuff, which is annoying to a lot of people because they're like, I never read the text anyway. So it's like
slows everything down.
Yeah. You can hit the space bar and skip through all of it if you really want to. But I mean, I kind of like it because it's something different. And maybe, you know, there's times where you're like, I don't care about this, so I'll skip through it. But the option for it to be there is cool, and the voice acting is pretty good. And
when you do your fighting, is it just button pushing, or is it like turn based, like a role playing type of game? How does that work exactly?
It's just like any MMO where, you know, you have 20 moves, and in any given time, probably there's five that you're using pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. And so you press one, and it does your, if you're a Jedi, it does like your leap forward and slash. And then that one's on cooldown for 10 seconds. So you hit two. And that one you can spam all the time, but it takes up, you know, a fifth of your mana bar or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can't use it all the time, really. And, you know, whatever. So you go and you hit your buttons that you want to hit.
And away you go.
Yeah.
So one final question on this. Would you pay for this game?
I bought the Super Ultra Collectors. I pre-ordered the Super Ultra.
So you're in it. Did you do that after you got the beta?
Yes, I played the beta for probably 2 weeks, and I decided this is a game that I'll put at least a few months into, and I'd probably play through it twice. You know, one on the Empire side, one on the Imperial side, and so that for me that was enough. And then one of my buddies that I used to play WoW with before we both quit. He said he's going to play too, so we'll level up together, and that's kind of fun to be able
in
to
do. In a joyous orgy of Star Wars excitement.
Yeah, we don't wear pants. That's the rule.
That's what you have
characters
to do.
And us. Neither one. No one. No pants.
I think that's kind of the theme of the summer. No pants.
Yeah.
So Adam has been playing Star Wars. Jared, what have you been doing this summer?
The normal summer stuff, you know, mm-hmm. the fairs of both of state and Renaissance type. Yeah. What else? We did Convergence, but we already had a special on that.
Yeah,
what
can't
else?
Talk about that.
August was kind of a light month, not a lot going on. I guess for me, my big events was, you know, as a homeowner, sometimes things break.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I may or may not have talked about my refrigerator dying on earlier in episodes. That sort of started the summer, because like that was back in like early or like May or something like that. So that had to be replaced. Yep. And now my garage door opener seems to have died completely.
Oh, boy.
So I need to, I have not had any time at all this week to even go investigate what that's going to cost to fix. But, you know, yeah, we're looking at probably anywhere from 150 to 200.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So you've got the cord pulled so you can manually open it and shut it?
Yeah, I just pretty much park outside because it's a pain.
It's summertime.
They don't really put handles on the outside of garage doors anymore to make it easy. So it's, you know, you got to go like, pressure.
It's a difficult thing.
So, yeah.
Well, that's a bummer.
Yeah, kind of sucks. But that's the you know, when you own the home, you own everything and every part of it. And if it breaks, it's up to you to fix it.
Yeah, things break.
Kind of a bummer, but.
As someone that's never owned a garage, when you said your garage door opener died, I thought you meant the man that you hire to open your garage door died.
Yes.
And you were being very insensitive about having to
Mr. Belvedere, he was there.
Belvedere. I like that.
And he sadly left, shuffled off the mortar coil, and he's now...
He's back in Pittsburgh, I guess.
Yeah. I guess so.
Hey, Jared, I did want to talk to you about one thing you did this summer.
What did I do? Because I don't remember.
Well, you will remember this. So...
Are you saying that you know what he did this summer?
I do, yes. And it involves a guy chasing him in a raincoat
as
and hook
long
hand.
As Jennifer Love Hewitt is there. Yes. Okay with it.
So this year, this summer, you had your 20th high school reunion.
God, that was so long ago. I thought we would have talked about this by now, but we haven't had
a
show.
And you and I, we've, you know, maybe skimmed the surface of it. But I wanted to kind of get your take on what it felt like to go back and see all these people that some of them you've seen before. and just how it went, and you know, was it worth your time, and just kind of give us the rundown of how something like it played out, because you weren't even sure if you really wanted to go that much.
Yeah, and I thought, well, it's 20 year, I better go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was at a bar, essentially. We took over the patio. And
you have a small graduating class.
I have a small. It's in the upper 60s. I think I thought it was 69. It could be varies depending on who tells the number. So not a lot of people. And I've honestly, there's only one person that I've had significant contact with mm-hmm. over the years. A couple others that I've crossed paths with here and there. So I don't really pay a lot of attention to my high school class. Not that I hate them or anything, but it's just like I've sort of moved on from it. And
what group were you in high school? Were you like jock, trench coat mafia?
No. Kind of the nerdy losers. I guess I was not losers, but you know, nerds. I was in theater, but I wasn't really a theater geek. I wasn't of that type, you know. I don't know.
You enjoyed it, but it wasn't your life. Like a lot of the theater guys.
And I wasn't a theatrical personality in class like some of those people are. So anyway, so we go to this thing.
Does that mean gay?
I think it does. That's code. No. It's secret code.
No.
Jared is not gay in class.
No. You know how theatrical people are.
They're see them all at the Renaissance Festival. Yes. So we know how they are.
Anyway, so I go to this thing and I walk in. I get their little, not when it first started, but probably about a half an hour after. And there's probably 15 people there when we start. You know, and I recognize most people. There were a couple people who I recognize their faces, but I'm like, I really just can't place your name, and I'm sorry I didn't review the yearbook before I came here.
It's probably easier to pick out 60 people versus, like, my class, I think it's 300 or 400 people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are people that they could be sitting in front of me right now, and I would not have known that I went to high school with them.
Yeah.
But still, you know.
So it's kind of started out with just a bunch of us sitting at tables or at like one big table and there was some light conversation, not a lot going on. And then at some point, kind of the floodgates opened and people just started kind of arriving in batches. And there was a lot of like, oh, hey, how you doing? You know, catching up briefly with so-and-so and so-and-so.
Were there name tags to help?
There were.
Okay.
Did you wear one?
I did because I thought it was, you know, funny, but whatever. My only
he put
goal,
the name on upside down.
So my only real goal with this thing was to kind of catch up with one friend from high school who I haven't really seen in person since probably the 10-year reunion. And we chatted briefly on Facebook a couple years back, but since then we haven't really. This is a friend of mine named Brian.
Okay.
And so I accomplished that. We talked and I met his girlfriend and he met mine. And we, you know, had a lot of conversations, caught up haven't really talked since, but you know, I think there's an idea to, you know, get together at some point outside of this function and maybe, you know, see how things are going, whatever. I don't know, but I just reached a point probably about an hour and a half in where there were a lot of people there and it's like I didn't really want to work the room and have conversations with these people who I don't dislike but haven't had any contact with since high school. And honestly, I don't really care what they're up to. I guess everything I need to know is on Facebook anyway. So, so I started like, you know what? I'm kind of ready to go. So we
and
left.
That was that.
That was that. I just kind of ducked out and I said, you know, goodbye to Brian, who I'd been chatting with most of the night. And
you did that via French kiss.
Yes.
So let me ask you this: in the conversations that you had with people, how do those go? I mean, how does one instigate a conversation with someone you haven't seen in 20 years.
Teach Shane how to talk.
Like, how's it going? Where are you? So what's going on with you? Oh, you're living in California now and you're doing this. What do you do for work? You know, and that's, it's all
very surface stuff, right?
Yeah. You know, and it's like some of these people, it's like, I wasn't really friends with you in high school. So why are we even going through the motions here? You know, it's like, I don't dislike you, but also we don't have a pre-existing relationship. Why are we going through this?
Sure.
Process of chit chat where it sounds like we're gonna walk away at the end of the night and go, okay, whatever.
It sounds a little bit like a press junket tour. Like, you know, like if it seems like you might have to say the same thing like 8 times too. You know, like, oh, this is what I'm doing again for a new person.
Yeah, and it's like I wanted to avoid asking those kind of rote questions, but at the same time, it's like, what else do you ask?
Sure.
I don't know.
So, did you, in high school, have a lot of friends? Or
no.
Were you, so that might be something to do with it.
Yeah,
you know, like you wanted to catch up with one guy,
and
you did.
I had a select group of people that I hung out with, and it was some of them were on again, off again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, moving on.
Sure.
So, like I said, after about an hour and a half, I was ready to go. It's like, I know there were a core group of people who stayed really late. I've seen some of the pictures and stuff like that. And I'm like, hey, well, good for you. I'm happy for you, but, you know, not really my thing, so.
And you went and scored some blow and had a great night after that.
I think I went over to the rock band party. And
I think you did.
Yeah.
But let me ask you one final question, because this is something that I will probably have to deal with when my reunion hits next year.
Yes.
You brought your girlfriend Angie with.
Yes.
How do you integrate this person into the social mix? And, like, all the spouses or girlfriends or boyfriends, depending
there
on...
There weren't a lot of SOs there, as you would call them.
People wanted to hook up?
No, I just think it's a tough thing to do, because it's like... Right. It's like, number one, if you're bringing someone, you're probably bringing them to show them off.
Yeah.
Which... I fully admit is part of what I did.
Look at me, cocksuckers.
But, you know, there is no, they don't, your partner doesn't have any of the, it doesn't know who any of these people are.
No, there's
are,
no
probably.
History. More than likely,
usually
no
they're
history.
Just kind of there hoping that you don't ignore them.
Yeah.
It worked out pretty well for me because Brian was there with his girlfriend. So we, as a foursome, kind of had a conversation going, which was good. I think that worked out well. It's probably why I probably spent most of my evening chatting with him, because I just felt it was probably more comfortable for Angela. So I don't know. It's a tough. It's you may not want to bring your wife. It's up to you.
I've always thought,
although
that
she probably would fit in just fine, just because she tends to do fine in that stuff. And I would be surprised. She might actually take offense if you didn't want her to go.
I've sort of talked to her about that, and she said, "Oh, I would definitely go." And I'm trying to figure out why you would want to when you don't know anyone there. I mean, she might know one or two people there. Yeah, maybe a couple more.
She'll get to make fun of you, though.
But she likes big,
that's
big
why I wanna go.
Scenes like that, and knowing people and knowing where you came from. And I guess, I don't know. I mean, she's always got the big family gathering. So I guess it's, I don't know.
I guess Carrie's going to my reunion. What was that?
When's her 20?
Decided.
Oh, she's past her 20.
Did you go with her?
No, she didn't go to any of those.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, she will have her 25 year next year.
You go, oh, she's way past that.
Yeah, way past 25 next year, not 20. So I don't know if she'll go or not. She talks to a lot of people on Facebook, so she might be like Jared in the sense that,
what's the need to do it every 5 year?
Because people die. You start getting older and people aren't there, so a lot of places will do it 5 years. And
the point is to show up and find out who died?
Yeah, no, I just think I think that it's to keep the touch points going on, you know? It's 10 years. 10 years might be too long.
If I can see that being a thing if you're actually, you know, if these are people you want to catch up with, and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I don't know if I would go every 5 years.
Yeah, because there's been chatter already of a 25 for my class, and I'm probably not going to go, because
it seems like an antiquated thing. Like,
it sort of does in this age where you can constantly stay in touch with people. Although with Shane and I, our class is probably right on that cusp of people who may or may not fall into the Facebook bucket. You're a younger chap, and probably most of your high school people would be on there.
I would say about half of, maybe a little more than half of my class is on Facebook.
I think most of mine is at this point, but
really?
it was a slow trickle.
Yeah,
you know, and then it was, yeah.
To me, I just imagining someone who's not on Facebook, you know, out of ignorance, is very surprising to me. Like, you know, why wouldn't you be? But, you know, that's just the way it is. Way it is with our generation.
There's always people who just choose not to. It's not that they're ignorant of it, or
that's what I'm, yeah,
don't
that's
know how to operate that. Just like, nah, that's not for me. So, whatever.
Well, it's funny that as soon as you were having your 20th, the kickoff, the prep for my 20th really heated up on
Facebook.
You had
like a pre-reunion. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, this all sort of fell into place at the same time, but this summer, you know, there's a Facebook group created for my 20th anniversary, so there's a lot of talk and a lot of chatter, a lot of excitement, and that sort of thing is set up. But then also I got together with a friend of mine from all the way back to fourth grade, and he had a sort of a big housewarming party with a lot of people that I went to high school with.
Oh.
And so you go there, and It's just like, hey, you know, haven't seen that person. It's so strange to, you know, see 18 years or 19 years you haven't seen someone. And, you know, you kind of do what Jared did. You know, it's, hey, how's it going? You know, you're married. What's your job? And you don't really know. You don't really know where to go from there, especially if it's someone that was an acquaintance in high school, not someone who shared a lot of experiences with you. So you don't have quite the touch points as you go through. The guy that threw the party, I mean, we were friends, you know, for, you know, 10 years pretty much. So we have a lot of history, and it's easy to sit down and shoot the shit and kind of catch up. And, you know, even post high school, when you hadn't seen each other, there's a lot of intersection.
Do you find that a lot of people that are, you know, your age don't play video games? And I know this is like completely, you think off topic, but,
I think that it's casual to limited.
Okay.
But, you know, keep in mind that
Madden and Modern Warfare only.
Maybe that. But the average video game system owner is 37 years old.
I mean, they say, but
that's what they say. Yeah. But I mean, I don't see it.
I think looking at my class, I just couldn't see most of them being video game players. I just don't see
they're
it.
They're too adult for that.
I just don't. No,
they're grown up.
I don't know.
They're balancing their checkbooks.
They're buying fishing boats.
Their bills.
They're being weekend meteorologists in Fort Lauderdale or whatever.
Oh, that's, yeah. Why do you ask that question?
I don't know. Because whenever I meet people my own age and...
You say you play video games and they look at you like you're a right. leper. You don't say it.
Right.
You sort of weed around trying to get the answers. Are you interested in
my t-shirts imply it.
what is it with this zombie t-shirt they look at you sort of strangely? Why do you have cats so being ridden by the cast of Law and Order or whatever?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't... I mean... I once talked to my mom about how I was like, I don't know what I want to do as an adult. And like, this was like a year ago. And she was like, no one does.
Yeah.
Implying that like no one's ever actually an adult. But like, you know, as you know, you have these 20 and 25 year high school reunions.
Yeah.
Like it makes me feel not a part of a lot of those groups. So that's why, I mean, it's not like video games are a defining feature of any person.
Sure.
But you know, it is a hobby, and you know, I'd say it's, you know, a top five hobby of mine, and I don't think many other people that I know that are my age would put it as a top five.
I totally get exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it is a little strange when you run across, you know, an old friend who has just started his own food truck business.
You're
gosh, you know,
food
it's like
truck business.
I couldn't imagine myself, you know, start having my own business. It's just like, that's such an adult thing. It's, I don't know.
I mean, so you almost feel like you're sort of perpetually at 20, 21. I mean, that's sort of how you feel. And, you know, how many of our friends from high school do a podcast or, you know, talk about video games or read comic books? So I got to think more than they let on, but maybe not.
They're all so jealous.
Maybe we're an anomaly. We're just weird, non-growing up kind of guys. I don't know, but I find that when I'm around these guys, you have to be very. I feel like I have to be very careful in what information I divulge. Like nobody from my high school knows that I do a podcast. I mean,
right.
I've done
you
it
have
for
a
five
wall
years.
Of Star Wars figures.
I have a room full of action figures.
Every season of The Simpsons on DVD.
Yeah, well, that's not true. I don't.
Have you ever thought about being on Hoarders?
No, not.
I've nominated you twice, but neither time.
Our friend Earl,
you're not a hoarder.
Our friend Earl could be on Hoarders. I could not. He's not there yet, but
no.
Give it a couple
there
years.
There are times, maybe time, there are some times in the past where he might have been a good fit for that.
But so,
he doesn't listen to the show. He doesn't know how to access a podcast.
Nah, he doesn't. But going back to Adam's original point, I think that's a totally fascinating, relevant observation to make about what people sort of put out there when they're in these social situations and how comfortable you are. And, you know, how many times do I have to get together with this guy that I knew in fourth grade before I actually say, hey, maybe you want to come on my podcast?
Right, you before
know?
You come
which,
out.
Which, you know what? I think he probably would come on. I think he'd probably love to come on the podcast. But it's like, you know, what? It's like coming out. Exactly. There's a gay parallel right there.
Hey, it gets better.
Thank you very much.
I create periodical media for release on the internet.
That's exactly it. You know, it's not a podcast. We do a radio show that we just put on the internet. That's what I say. Hey, let's. I mean, we're going on nearly an hour now.
Well, we're 34 minutes.
34 minutes. I don't know. I mean, an hour and 34 minutes. But I wanted to get serious for a second and talk about the big 9/11. Speaking of anniversaries, we have the 9. We're recording
Dreamcast's 12th birthday.
Exactly.
Was yesterday.
I think we should, that's an anniversary we need to be marking. $9.99.
I know. But let's get real for a minute. 9/11, a 10-year anniversary coming up tomorrow, or when people listen to the show, it'll be the day after.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to talk to you guys about how that has changed you and kind of what you remember of those days. Because I don't know how much we've actually... I think we've had one show where we've talked about 9/11. But, you know, we've had a lot of shows on TV that have been replaying the history, which they do every year. But it's really heavy this year. But more of a focus on looking towards rebuilding in the future rather than, you know, showing all the super horrific things.
I guess. Rudy Giuliani's been on every show I've seen.
Yeah, he's everywhere, that guy. But I just wanted to get first of all, you know, do you remember what you were doing? That, I mean, we all do, but I mean, is it something that's really crystallized in your brain? What the events of that day, how you felt, and you know how first? You witnessed it?
So
absolutely.
I lived in D.C.
Okay, yeah, you time. And you have a localer connection compared to Jared and me.
Right.
We were both here in Minnesota.
So I was listening to Stern.
Okay.
And
live?
Live. Yes.
Wouldn't that be amazing, Jared, to be able to listen
actually,
to Howard Stern?
I actually
on the radio?
Have downloaded the MP3s of those episodes.
They're playing it tomorrow. They're going to synchronize it on Sirius. But anyway.
It's going to be like War of the Worlds.
Exactly.
Yeah, it seems a bit weird. Yeah. Why would you want to relive it like
well,
that?
Well, they're doing that with like Good Morning America's running their entire broadcast the same.
Why, though?
I don't know.
Why are people... All right.
Yeah.
Adam, anyway, we'll let Jared get into
it's a weird misanthropic thing that people do to feel alive. Ralph called in. And was like, hey, you guys watching the news?
Yeah.
A plane crashed into, you know, one of the World Trade buildings.
Trade Center.
And, you know, they were like, oh, you're crazy, whatever. They turned on the news.
This is Ralph we're talking
right.
about.
And so that was before 9, I guess. And so I'm driving to work listening to it. And, you know, I don't think anything of it. It's like, oh, some idiot.
Yeah. It happens. Stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
Planes crashing into buildings, it happens. Right. No biggie.
Right. So I get to work, and like it's seems like it's maybe a little bit more serious by the time I get out of the car, but nothing extreme. And I get into the elevator and going up to the fourth floor, and my boss is gets in the elevator with me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you hear about what's going on in New York? He's like, yeah,
this is crazy.
Right. And that day, Michael Jordan was supposed to announce his return to the Wizards. At the time, he was like a part owner of the Wizards.
Well, you remember a lot of things that day. That's
because
pretty impressive.
I said to him, I bet Michael Jordan's not going to do his little speech today.
Yeah, probably not.
So I was.
I want to push that one a couple days.
Yeah, and that led to his Hitler mustache. That butterfly
exactly.
effect.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah,
I think you can draw that.
So that happened.
You can draw that line.
And then, you know, like everyone's kind of going about their normal workday for like 30 minutes until like
the second plane.
Right. And then my girlfriend at the time who I lived with had been laid off like 3 weeks prior. So she was at home and we lived, I'd say, half a mile from the Pentagon.
Oh, really?
And they were building another apartment building right next to us. So she heard this really large explosion. Yeah. She thought
and the Pentagon was later. The Pentagon hit was later on.
Yeah.
So,
but so that's what she thought it was. Yeah, it was like I guess like 10:30 or 10:15 or something. So, so she didn't think anything of it until she would turn on the TV, and then so we were like, we should probably get out of the area. So my drive to work took 10 minutes. My drive back into closer to the Pentagon took like an hour and a half, and like this was like pretty soon, like where we decided. So we got there, and then our apartment building had like an intercom system. They're like, you know, there's a voluntary evacuation of the building. There's supposedly another plane that's unaccounted for, which later found out was not true. There are a lot of
misinformation.
So I remember like listening to the radio. And someone called in to Stern was over by the time.
Yeah.
So we went down to my mom's house, who lived like 30 minutes south of us. But it took 4.5 hours to get down
to
her.
Holy crap.
Because everyone was getting the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah. And I remember like someone called in there like, my daughter just told me that Houston's on fire. And like the guys were like, what do you mean Houston is on fire? He's like, the whole city. And like already people were like,
what is going on here?
Let's not spread this sort of stuff. So I remember, anyway, we finally get to my mom's place and she had a pool. So we were like, So we went and spent the most of the day in the pool.
He was in the pool on 9/11.
So yeah, it's kind of a jerk move, but whatever. And I remember watching the news they didn't have commercials for like 24 hours. Yeah. I remember that being like a big deal. Like, oh, your billion-dollar corporations are giving up on a couple million dollars. So, you know, benevolent of you guys. and there was a ticker across the bottom of everything that was closed in every state. And I was like, I wonder what's... Because every state was on there. I was like, I wonder what's on Minnesota. There it goes. Mall of America. Like, that was the only thing. And then, you know, Michigan was there, whatever the next state is after Mississippi.
So these were all, like, popular tourist places or things that they thought might be targets or something?
Okay. I guess. So it was closed. And then, And then the rest of this country has been insane since.
So we'll go to Jared. By the way, I've never heard that story before. Can I tell you
one more thing, then?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to do this tomorrow, but I'll do it with you guys anyway. It's a knock-knock joke.
Oh, no.
So, knock-knock.
Who's there?
9/11.
9/11 who?
You said you'd never forget.
Wow.
Okay. I do that every year, so.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
So let's go over to Jared. Tell us about the day the planes crashed.
I don't quite have the detailed memory that Adam has, but for me I was working overnights at the time at my job. So I had finished my shift. I was home. I was sleeping.
Okay.
And then my ex-wife, that wife at the time, were we married yet? No, we weren't. Girl, we were just living together.
Okay.
Woke me up and said, you know, plane and hit the World Trade Center. I'm like, what? And I'm all groggy and shit. So I get up and I'm just like, go in the living room, turn on the TV and the cable news. I don't remember if it was CNN or Fox News, but it was like, I think at that point only the first plane had hit. And then, you know, it wasn't too long before the second plane hit. And it was just like, what is going on?
Yeah.
At the point I'm awake. I'm like,
cognizant of everything.
Yeah, forget I've only had an hour of sleep at this point. I'm awake. And it was just like, you know, I don't remember all the details, but I remember, you know, the buildings collapsing and then the Pentagon hit. And it was just like, I basically spent the entire day watching cable news, trying to find out what is going on, who did this, you know, that's really my memory of it. It was just waking up after an overnight sleep, having got an hour of rest, and then spending the day watching cable news. And I'm trying to remember if I worked that night. I may have had that night off because it was a weird cycle, but it was weird. And then over the next couple of days, when I finally got it back in the office, it was like, you know, very, very strange, you know, realizing that this had happened. And yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of checking of the news throughout the day now. Suddenly the news was very relevant and very interesting. You know, was there anything going on?
Tons of breaking news, too. I mean, the information came out pretty quickly. And then you had the anthrax business that came along right along with that.
Which had still nothing unsolved anthrax.
Yeah. We really had nothing to do with it. But people thought it was related at the time.
I know. Everything was. So my day, interesting. I worked for the place that Adam eventually got a job at. But I worked at the time. I can say it was CBS MarketWatch at the time. So essentially a internet news provider of business. And I always go into work early. So I was into work probably, do you remember what time the first plane hit?
It's like 8:30 Eastern.
8:30. So I may have gotten into work just before or just after. I mean, I'm usually at work by 7:30. And we have TVs. I mean, it's, you know, media type of, you know, new media, internet bubble, whatever place. So there's TVs all over the place, and we always had it on MSNBC. And you just remember seeing that plane, that's the gaping hole. And I think that most of the office wasn't even in when the second plane hit, but second plane hit, and then, you know, kind of the shit hit the fan. And keep in mind that, you know, we had a New York office at the time, and we are a financial news company. And part of my business, so what I did is I was licensing. So we took a lot of the for those financial news tools, and we would sell them to brokerages. We'd sell them to media companies. So, you know, Cantor Fitzgerald, I mean, we had contacts there. We knew people, or at least our salespeople. So it was a huge interconnection of, you know, how this is affecting, you know, people that we do business with or that our company did business with. So a lot of our sales guys were, you know, on the phone trying to figure this out and, you know, who's hurt and what's going on. And it was a strange day because, you know, early internet, you know, 2001, still, it's not, you know, didn't have the infrastructure.
The whole thing broke. I mean,
everything
CNN
broke.
CNN site broke. Drudge Report, you know, like, that was the only one you could sometimes get because it's all text.
But MarketWatch was the, Like, they did not go down the entire time. And, you know, obviously they have, you know, a focus on financial news, but they just decided instantaneously that all the reporters need to get on the street and start filing their reports based on, you know, hard-hitting real news. So they stripped down the website to, like, a graphic on the front page, and then just you reload it, and they'd have news stories that would just pop in. And it was a very traumatic, crazy day there. But at the same time, I remember working. I mean, we didn't stop working. We just sort of kept going. But it, you know, you just had to do what you had to do. But and I was thinking about this on the way over. I remember how I felt, and I've watched enough of these shows now that were the, you know, the replaying stuff where you kind of see the timeline play out. And I remember you when that plane first hit, or when I first saw that, it was, you know, confusion. That was sort of the first thing, and then the second one hits, and it's starting to get real. And
Second one hit, and you realize, okay, yeah, this is something coordinated. Something is going on. It wasn't just a fluke. It was like the first one may have been, but
it was a very fearful. I mean, I felt fear and worry, and I, you know, then you start to get into stuff that Adam was talking about, where you get all this misinformation, but yet there's still planes in the air, and then you get the Pentagon hit, and I clearly remember when this happened. I said to myself, like, when is this going to end? I mean, do you guys remember that? I mean, that is like a crystallized feeling that I had in my brain. Like, this is, you know, this is really, really serious, and there doesn't seem to be any stopping this. And then you had the final plane that went down, which was, you know, I think they didn't really know what was going on. It just sort of was there unaccounted for, then it crashed, and then a lot of the other news sort of came out, like the plight of the people on that plane.
Yeah, I can remember them following that, saying they lost contact with it, and they weren't, because it was like heading towards Cleveland or something like that, and
by the end of this, I felt like hopelessness and despair, you know, on a, you know, not on a small level, but sort of a macro feeling, like, you know, this, there was a palpable feeling of life being different from that point on forever for us. And yeah, I think it took a long time for it to feel more normal, but I still think about that stuff. I mean, my day-to-day activity, that, like, a building that I go into looks like the World Trade Center. It was designed by the guy that designed the World Trade Center, you know, and I'm looking out over the skyline of Minneapolis, and you just think, you know, what happens if something happens to these people? It just, you can't, I mean, you never thought about that stuff prior to that, but now it's in my brain. It's just like a natural part of it. Or going to get on a flight, how things have changed. I mean, you can't go watch planes come in. I mean, it's like going into a prison. So, I don't know. I just, those type of things just integrate into your life, and they become the new normal, for better or for worse.
I think you're starting to see some pushback, though, on a little of that.
Yeah.
Or a lot of it, really. Especially with TSA and stuff like that. But, you know, there's only so far you can push the new normal before people say, no, we're not okay with that. You know, this is a free country, and you can't go too far.
So let me ask you this. One question that has come up in like news media, and it's a fair question to ask, is, did Al-Qaeda accomplish what they set out to do?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, did the terrorists win?
Yep.
You know, if there is a winning and losing. And I got this cool infographic from Flowing Data, which, you know, that's one of the things I do. I sort of design information, and so I pay attention to the site, and they do a lot of cool stuff. And they just have a graphic here, and it's about war funding and what 9/11 has essentially cost us. And there's a couple different numbers. The Congressional Research Service says it is, the number that's come out of this war is $1,649 billion. So I don't know what that would be in trillions.
Yeah.
And the New York Times did their own estimation of somewhere in the numbers of like $3.3 trillion. And, you know, New York Times, liberal rag, so you certainly can't trust them. But, I mean, the numbers coming out of the war are sure. They are real, and I think you'd have to argue, you know, we wouldn't have been in either of those wars.
Sure.
And let's hear what this number said. Said that about $7 million for every dollar Al Qaeda spent planning and executing the attacks is what this has cost us. So for every dollar Al Qaeda spent, we've spent $7 million. That's a pretty good rate of return if you think about that.
Mm-hmm.
How different would life be for us if 9/11 didn't happen? Would we have had an economic meltdown? Would it just have come later, maybe slightly slightly different. You know, a lot of people are saying that everything that we're experiencing is directly attributed to 9/11. You know, you're thinking of the deficit, how much higher we didn't have the money to pay for the war. How different would life be?
I don't know. I mean, you can't answer those things. So
I'm just curious. I mean, do you think that in 10 years we would have had another attack? I think we probably would have. I don't know if it would have been to that degree, but I think that it was just a matter of time.
Sure. Like, you know, there were a number of attacks that were stopped, you know, that we never hear too much about. But yeah, like, would we have been vigilant and had the infrastructure set up to stop those?
No.
Probably not. So, but I mean, you could look at any single event in any, you know, one time and say, well, what would change off of that?
Sure.
So it's kind of hard to say. Yeah, I mean, you know, to answer the question, just, you know, Jared was saying yes emphatically, and it's obviously yes. You know,
is that a negative thing to say? I mean, can we learn something from that and be better, or is it just sort of, well, you know, they got us?
Well, I mean, their goal was to scare us and, I guess, to spend ourselves into oblivion. I don't know how you could argue how they didn't succeed with that, meeting those goals. So
it's interesting that politicians don't really talk about that. You know, I don't know if that's considered unpatriotic or
probably. I mean,
or if you're dooming yourself to say,
yeah,
you know, they made an impact.
For some reason, you have to support the American exceptionalism argument if you're a politician, which I don't get, but whatever. Like, that's,
I mean, I don't know how you can support that when you consider our ranking in all the key metrics across the world.
No, I don't know. We're the
people
best
still
country,
believe
though.
That stuff. Yeah. But anyway, that's not the topic.
Just because you say it, it must mean it's true.
Yep. We have the best healthcare in this country because I said
if you can afford it. The actual doctors are great. The techniques, great. The cost, shitty. Access, shitty. Hi. We're talking about healthcare again.
There we go. Well, let's wrap this up, and I'll just say I hope everybody spends a little time thinking about the people that didn't make it out of all the tragedies that happened in New York and D.C. and Pennsylvania and all the people that were affected by it. Because I think without being cynical, it cascaded down to a lot of people, and I think that it makes you think a little bit about your place in this world and how brief it can be.
Did you read? Did either of you read The Onion? It was 2 days after 9/11, I think, that they put.
I remember it, but
issue.
I don't remember what they said exactly.
You can still find it on their site. Now, I assume they'll do something this week for it. It was one of the funniest things.
Yeah,
I've ever. I mean, I remember like crying, laughing about, you know, about everything. And on, like, on the side, they had, you know, where they have just the one single headlines that don't have a story.
Sure.
And it was, you know, like, the entire front page is everything New York related. And then it was, like, small military base in Northern Virginia also attacked, you know, like, because during that, it was, you know.
Yeah.
It was, like,
very New York-centric,
small
yeah,
thing that they paid attention to the Pentagon. And so it was really funny. So anyone that hasn't ever read that one, I think that's a nice bit of catharsis.
Absolutely.
And kind of brave, because I mean, people were saying after the fact, like,
we can't laugh.
Comedy's dead.
We can't
do
laugh.
Anything anymore. It's like, no, you have to.
Yeah, that's the key.
Well, and we also have to go shopping immediately after.
Yeah, buy ourselves out of this problem.
That kind of wasn't that a line that they threw out?
Sure, absolutely.
Bush said that immediately afterwards. He said, keep shopping.
Let's not get into that.
Don't dig a hole in the ground and think of the worst.
There we are. So, guys, let's move past this.
53 minute mark.
Let's get into what this show is really about, and that's pop culture. And you know, just in time, the fall TV schedule is starting this week, actually. So let's make sure that Scope does their part by giving you our take on all the new shows that are coming to a network and a cable network near you. And we'll also dig into a little bit of Under the Scope, just because that's what we do. So, guys, thank you for sticking with us through this long initial segment. A lot more good stuff to come on episode 114 of your favorite podcast, The Scope.
After this?
After this.
Oh.
Once again, it's time for another edition of The Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is uterus unicorn. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
episode 114, giving you your fall TV preview. Jared, what band is that, by the way?
OK Go, I believe.
OK Go. There we go. People love OK Go.
They do.
It's like they're giving us permission to do this segment.
They love their web videos that they do.
They
and
do.
Such.
Very clever. You know, usually when we do our fall TV, we break it down into about 20 different questions and 20 different segments. This year, we're
going to... Fuck that.
Yeah, fuck it. We're going to simplify this thing a little bit. Instead of...
Fuck it. Let's talk folk music instead.
Let's, yeah. 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 And nothing but banjo. That's what I say. It's all banjo... Scope show.
6 minute abs. That's what I'm talking about.
Six.
Adam, what happened? Where are you going?
Adam's out. He's not doing.
Talk about banjo.
He's not doing banjo music.
All right.
I just thought it might be more exciting if we talked about new shows rather than old shows. And
yeah, because I never watch a show more than one season. I drop it. Drop it immediately if it hasn't been canceled, and then I start fresh every fall.
If we would have had a 50 minute opening segment, I would have allowed for it. But since we're about 3 minutes over that. Can't be done. I've asked Jared and Adam asked myself, and I agreed to it, to...
Wow. I would like to hear that conversation.
To each pick a show that you have to see. You've got to watch this season. Otherwise, you're missing out. And I think you guys did it.
Yeah,
that was the plan.
All right.
We did our homework.
I appreciate that. So let's start with Jared.
Wow.
And the reason I'm picking you, Jared, is I think the show that you're selecting is actually starting very soon. So in order of when it starts, you get to go first.
My must-watch show, more for me, but maybe for the general audience, is I picked Ringer on CW. It's Tuesday nights, 9, 8 Central. And yes, that you're right, Shane. It does premiere next Tuesday or tomorrow as you're listening to this, if you listen to it on a Monday.
The CW, Jared,
yeah.
Very quick on getting their new shows out. They're always a week or so ahead of everyone.
I think it's probably a smart move because they're a smaller network. Not everyone notices them.
They're like the Sega of the networks.
Yeah.
The Sega?
Sega. Remember how Sega put the...
Let's get the system up first, Shane. The Dreamcast. Yeah. The Saturn.
And the Saturn, yeah.
Genesis.
Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We got it.
Right,
so I got a little bit of text here to read about this.
Sure.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is back on network television, and her show has potential, according to critics, who generally praised the pilot.
Generally.
Originally slated to appear on CBS, this ambitious action drama instead landed at the CW, though it doesn't have all that much in common with the network's typical programming, which is your teen-oriented shows, your reality
programming.
Having sex
and drinking.
Yes.
Whoa.
Or your supernatural-based shows.
Mm-hmm.
The premise of the show, Bridget... That is Sarah Michelle Gellar's character. She goes on the run after witnessing a murder, hiding out by assuming the life of her wealthy, identical twin sister, Siobhan, who also seems to have killed herself. Only to learn that her sister's seemingly idyllic life is just as complicated and dangerous as the one she's trying to leave behind.
Sounds like a very complicated plot, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
it seems like it's going to have all kinds of twists and turns and misidentifications. And this is, I'm intrigued by it. So your cast, you've got your Sarah Michelle Gellar, formerly of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And
I love her in Bluffy.
Bluffy. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Some other names I'm going to have some trouble pronouncing. Christopher Poleja. I don't know. Life Unexpected. Ione Gruffudd. Fantastic Four. Fan favorite Nestor Carbonell from Lost. Also of The Tick.
Yeah. The Beautiful Eyes.
Yes. This is, he's not wearing, what's it called?
Eyeliner?
Guyliner. No, it says this is his beautiful eyelashes. And Tara Summers of Damages and Boston Legal. That's my show, Shane. Any thoughts on it? I'm just excited that to see Sarah Michelle Gellar back on episodic television. I think that's where she was best. Her film career was kind of hit and miss.
Yeah.
I guess you can count the hits among the Scooby-Doo films.
Yeah. Cruel Intentions is a big
The Grudge was a big Cruel Intentions and The Grudge.
She met out with a lady.
Those are two that are cited as kind of her high points of her film career. But I always enjoyed her as Buffy. A lot of people would say that she's the weakest character on the show, but
really,
That's fine. I still enjoyed her, and I think that this is probably a good fit.
Hey, haters gonna hate.
So I hear in this show, and I don't know if you read this in the in sort of the press stuff that came out.
I read the big article in EW.
Yeah, she not only does she play her twin sister, and the other twin, she plays them both in past like flashbacks as well. So she's trying to cover like four or five different versions of these
Eddie Murphy.
These women.
Eddie Murphy.
It's a very Eddie Murphy.
Really? Yeah. She's really the clumps.
She is.
That's what she is.
Hercules. She gets into a big fat suit and sits around a table and then just eats a lot of fried chicken.
So basically, from what I've read and watched, she essentially is like somehow witnesses a mob killing or something like that. So she has to go on the run and go into hiding.
That, you know what they say, Jared? They say that's on the lam.
Yes, on the lam.
Why is it called the ringer? What does that mean?
Because she's a dead ringer.
A dead ringer.
A ringer for her sister.
I was thinking...
As the teaser text says in the trailer...
I thought it was an anal sex reference is what I thought it was.
As the teaser text says in the trailer, two sisters, one face.
weird. I like your hand gestures there. I like that.
The ringer, I thought this was a TV version of the Johnny Knoxville playing a special needs...
Sarah Michelle Gellar as a special needs child.
Pretending to be a special needs child.
I do have a teaser
clip. But the twin that actually was special needs.
Right. I do have a teaser clip, and as always, it is very, very appropriate for the audio medium.
No, of course.
Here we go.
I never meant for any of this to happen.
You okay?
That's Saban.
Just get up on the stand. You tell
us
what you
saw. That's what I'm afraid of. No one can protect me. In all this, I lost someone who meant everything to me.
There's probably some text on screen at this point.
The entire show was filmed in a giant metal sphere. That's why you get the sound.
So much.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
She's met her sister again.
Your life seems perfect.
Perfect.
Like they're on a boat.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Siobhan!
Oh, no! The sister's dead.
Oh, my God.
I bet she's not really
Siobhan
dead.
Killed herself.
I agree with you.
Time is ticking by faster.
A very poor typist.
It's not a way out.
I love the letter T.
I took it. I'm the only one that knows that she's dead.
She takes her place.
Evening, Miss Martin.
Evening. They all think I'm her. They all think I'm Siobhan.
But the FBI.
The FBI's after her.
No one's life is perfect. Tonight seems so happy.
Well, that was an act. Oh, come on, Siobhan. We've slept together 1,000 times.
Secret lovers.
1,000 times.
It's not safe.
I don't know if I slept with my wife 1,000 times.
It only took one. Once. Yeah, one time, as far as I know.
Yeah, as far as you know.
Who are you?
You have the wrong girl!
So, you know, the audio clip. Perfectly summarized.
I love it. I like how you help it. You help it along.
This is the best I could find.
There's not a lot out there.
It's everything that's out. Here we go.
Oh.
It's Siobhan.
Hello?
Siobhan, we have a problem. Bridget's still alive.
But she's actually Bridget. As Siobhan.
So
oh my
it's
God.
Very, very confusing.
Yeah, every clip I came across was all, you know, just little snippets of dialogue with text. And it's like, oh, well, whatever. We'll have some fun with this one.
Absolutely.
That's the best I could do. So for me, that's the show that I must watch and I'm excited for. Ringer. CW.
What was the story behind it not getting on the CBS?
The article that I read, it was just that CBS didn't feel that it was a good fit.
Okay. It wasn't police procedurally enough.
Yeah. And it was like they felt like if it were to go there, it wouldn't get the exposure to the audience. You know, she skews a little bit younger than the CBS.
Yeah,
And where are they going to put it?
Expectations are a little lower on the CW, so maybe it's a better fit there. I think she was a little saddened by that. I think she was hoping for a big network show.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe this will be exactly what she needs.
I'm giving it a go.
All right. Well, I will I'll continue, and then we'll let Adam be the cleanup hitter in this one. I'm picking the J.J. Abrams-produced Person of Interest. This will be on Thursdays.
Thursday's a big night now.
8 p.m., 7 p.m. Central, premiering September 22nd, so we're a few weeks away. So here's the text that I found, Jared. It stars Jim Caviezel. Didn't he play Jesus?
He did play Jesus. Also one of my favorite movies, Frequency. With Dennis
Frequency
Quaid.
Frequency is a good
that
movie.
That is a good movie.
Yeah,
good
it really
movie.
Is good.
Emmy Award winner Michael Emerson from Lost. Again, another Lost connection. Mm-hmm. And Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henderson. And this is a crime procedural show, shocker, that is on CBS, about a presumed dead former CIA agent, Reese, who's played by Jim, who teams up with a mysterious billionaire, Finch, played by Michael Emerson, to prevent violent crimes by using their own brand of vigilante justice. Whenever you get that, you get your own brand. Like Jerbeau brand vigilante justice. Reese's special training in covert ops appeals to Finch, a software genius who invented a program that uses pattern recognition to identify people
Is that
about
how you
to
pronounce
be.
It?
Yep.
Okay.
That's how I pronounce it. That's a Richfield pronunciation.
Got it.
About to be involved in violent crimes. And this show actually kind of ties into this 9/11 thing we were talking about, because they really get into this idea of cameras everywhere. You know, at post 9/11, there's nowhere you can be that isn't being recorded or audio taped or
right here.
Betamax.
Do you believe the press? Right, Hollywood was changed forever after 9/11.
It sounds like it. So, let me see right here. The two work outside of the law using Reese's adept skills and Finch's unlimited wealth to unravel the mystery of the person of interest and stop the crime before it happens. And, of course, they're vigilante justice.
Sorry, Shane. Their own brand of vigilante justice.
Sorry. Their Jabot brand of vigilante justice. Their fossil brand. Jabot's a little out of date. They also gather the attention of a local cop who Reese uses to his advantage. The NYPD is involved in it as well. So I have no idea about this show in terms of it having an overall mythology. I know that they talk in a lot of the press that I've seen and read about it. It's very much a crime of the week show, but I have to think that might get a little old. So knowing the Lost guys, I'm sure there's got to be some theme that runs through it that allows you to want to tune in week to week.
As long as the characters are solid, that's what I mean. Yep. Castle is a crime of the week show, and I often am bored by the crime of the week, but yep, the characterization and the actors are so good that I come back every week.
That's what I'm hoping for on this show. I don't watch procedurals. I don't watch crime shows. I like the mythology in almost every show that I watch. It's a key component. So we'll see what this show does for us. I do have a clip that Jared was nice enough to convert from the YouTubes. Why don't you play it? And I think it's just like a summary type of thing, much like The Ringer. So
all right,
not a lot of stuff out there for clips. So let's hit it.
New this fall.
Telephone.
You need to know what it would be like to be forced to
that was someone typing.
Someone get murdered.
12 August 2008.
Too late.
Bad things happen to people every day. You can't stop
Jesus.
Them.
What if you could? After the attacks, the government gave itself the power to read every email, listen to every cell phone.
But they needed a machine to sort through it all, to pick the criminals out of the general population.
So how do you know about it?
I built it. I've got a list of people who are about to be in very bad situations. They might be the victim. They could be the perpetrator. I want you to figure out what's going to happen and stop it from happening.
Why doesn't your magic computer do that?
Have a nice day.
Six cover identities, just like when you were with the agency.
It's happening now.
The names never stop coming. I'm offering you a chance to be there in time.
Michael Emerson kind of sounds like someone who's very indifferent on a vibrator machine when he talks, like, what are you doing? I'll give you the opportunity to do this.
What's his motivation as a rich guy to...
That's the rub. We don't know.
Oh, okay.
Tune in and find out.
Maybe he's just a philanthropist.
He's Warren Buffett.
I'm going to tell you, but I won't tell you right now.
I'm excited for the show too, Shane. So
good.
It's also on my list of new shows for the fall.
Adam.
Yes.
You must have a show on your list.
I do.
Go ahead.
All right. How about, why don't we play my clip first?
Jared, play his clip first.
It's like a tease into it.
We'll never know.
You think so? All right. Here we go.
The bold new standard by which all of television will be judged.
These are reviews.
Triumph of the human spirit, not seen since My Left Foot. MTV's first foray into Emmy territory is a remarkable one. Once in a lifetime comes a program of such quality, one wonders how it ever got made.
I think I just figured something out, Beavis. What? This sucks.
I forget how long the actual song plays for. Something happening now.
It's in his butt.
It hurts.
He screwed an action figure to his hand, I believe.
Ah, okay. You've seen the clip from Cornholio, the new?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a...
That was your clip? That was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to introduce okay, so I assume everyone remembers Beavis and Butthead.
Okay. I think so.
Okay. But so that's my pick. Kind of a half jokey pick on my part, but kind of a serious one too. This season of new TV is the least excited I've been for a new season of TV.
I agree. I'm a little underwhelmed. There are a couple of nuggets, but
yep.
I will say this before you get into it.
Okay.
I don't think that it is full of bad new shows. I just think it's, I'm very indifferent to everything. There's nothing that's really exciting. There doesn't seem to be anything that is really, really bad.
Yes.
It's just sort of a level down here somewhere.
I think the AV Club said, kind of had the same thing of, it is a generally mediocre season of TV. There's no girlfriends.
When is it? That woman from Girlfriends does have a new show.
We're really searching for the new girlfriends, aren't we?
I think we are.
So in almost a half protest pick, but also, you know, I am going to watch it. I picked Beavis and Butthead. So Beavis and Butthead is actually coming back. This is, MTV has three kind of returning shows this year. 120 minutes, Beavis and Butthead. And there's one more that I'm not remembering, that I didn't watch when it was originally on.
Pop-up videos on VH1 coming back.
That might've been the third one.
Seriously?
I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So videos are coming back.
It goes. That's the pop-up. Let's pop up at him.
So, in case you missed it, back in early in the beginning part of the summer at San Diego Comic-Con, Mike Judge announced the show's comeback officially and showed like the first 15-minute episode to to the Comic-Con goers. And so I kind of like this one kind of synopsis. So in a lot of ways, the clip seems like it may have come straight from Beavis and Butthead in their 90s heyday. Bloody Mayhem, Charming Stupidity, and of course, Cornholio. But it also came with one crucial difference. When it came time for the duo's much-beloved Mocking of Music videos, Beavis and Butthead started ripping into Snooki and the Jersey Shore instead. So I haven't read if that's going to be an ongoing thing.
It is.
Okay. But they're also going to make fun of music videos too.
Gaga's going to get it. Yeah. Katy Perry will get it. Pitbull will get it.
Exactly.
T-Pain.
Pitbull has it coming.
Yeah.
So, like, as base and stupid as a lot of Beavis and Butthead's level of humor was, I remember as a teenager watching it and saying some of those jokes are kind of smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of been, you know, Mike Judge throughout, you know, or since then and throughout. Now, I wasn't a fan of King of the Hill, but anytime I watched it, I would laugh at least some of the jokes. You know, but of course, Office Space and Idiocracy, of course. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of curious about why he's doing it, because of his voice. Supposedly back when he did the show full time, it was destroying his
really?
Vocal cords or something. Yeah. I remember he was on Stern once, and like the day after, Stern was just yelling at Baba Booey.
Tearing into,
sure. Because Baba Booey had Mike Judge doing promos, bumpers. In Beavis and Butthead voices, and just yelling at him because he had been talking on the show about how it hurts.
So Baba Booey, Tata Toothy went right at it.
Yeah.
Toothy.
So, you know, who knows? Maybe it'll be an MTV show, so I bet it'll only have like 12 episodes. But now that there's no RJ Berger, I have to watch Awkward. I need a new MTV show to watch. So this premieres in October. October 18th, I think, is when it premieres. So,
You know, from a nostalgic point of view, I'm excited about it. From a realistic point of view, I'm not as excited about it. I thought that Beavis and Butthead at the end of their run, you know, when they were really popular, it seemed to be sort of, you know, mocking themselves almost.
Sure.
And, you know, when this was announced, I went back and went onto the YouTubes and watched some of the stuff that I remember being the funniest Beavis and Butthead bits. You know, mostly it was the music videos. And I watched it, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I've just grown up, but it's not as funny now as it was then to me.
Says the guy with 25 seasons of The Simpsons.
Yeah, well, that's just... I think that's I'm more a victim of just being consistent there.
Sure.
But I'm still excited about it. I'm glad they're bringing it back, and I'm glad that they're doing it the way it should be, which is exactly how it used to be. Yeah. So, and I like Mike Judge just like you.
Yeah, and you know, like part of what makes me feel okay about it is at least it's Mike Judge doing it. It's not like a weird Ren and Stimpy thing where like someone else had rights to it and they're like, let's see
a different guy doing the voice and it's gonna different animation. This looks very consistent with Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
It's exciting in that regard.
All right.
So let's go through our shows you must avoid. These are all new shows, once again.
Yep.
And I'll start this one off. We'll mix it up a little bit. I kind of feel like when I do that, it's
hopefully we didn't pick the same
like
ones.
It's like whose line is it anyway? You know where they.
I'll get behind you with my arms.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Okay. Let's brush our teeth. So the show that I'm picking is also a CBS show. And by the way, I'm just going to reiterate what I said before. I found it really hard to find the really bad show just because I didn't. Everything was just sort of mediocre. So this was a struggle, and I ended up picking a show called A Gifted Man. This is on Fridays. It's an hour-long show, CBS.
That'll be really hard to miss.
And it's you know, the one big trend that's happened this year is that a lot of the mystical or supernatural shows, sci-fi shows, are all pushed to Friday night. So yep. It seems like every show that if you want something that's ghost-related or Fringe-related, it's all going to be battling it out there, which I hope Fringe is the show that gets... rises at the top, because I think they're going to have a lot of competition. But this is one show that's in there. It's a drama about a brilliant, charismatic surgeon whose life changes forever when his deceased ex-wife begins teaching him the meaning of life from the hereafter.
Wasn't this a movie?
To a movie.
So, but like, not like a surgeon part, but someone's like wife or husband died and like helped them in their future relationships.
I think that... certainly could be a film that I would never watch.
That sounds like a thing.
Michael Holt, played by Patrick Wilson, is an exceptional doctor who lives a materialistic life of luxury thanks to his work-obsessed career.
What a dick.
However, Michael's ordered world is rocked when his ex-wife, Anna, played by Jennifer L. Ailey, I don't even know how to pronounce it, an idealistic free clinic doctor in the love of his life, mysteriously appears to him. He's got an offbeat sister, who's a single mom, and just a bunch of people in here. So it's really about. It reminds me of that Harrison Ford movie where he was the jerky doctor who I think he got shot or something in a convenience store.
So Regarding Henry,
yeah, and then he ended up being a nice guy at the end, sort of. You know, he learned his lesson. So this kind of plays in that same route, but with a little bit of a ghost whisper in there as well. You know, you've got some pretty good pedigree here for people that are involved in it. You've got Academy Award nominee Susan Grant from Aaron Brockovich, Jonathan Demme, Sarah Timberland are executive producers. But I just kind of feel like it's sort of a blasé premise on a night that, you know, you probably want to watch something else that had a little more meat in terms of supernatural stuff. I didn't get a clip for it. I didn't think it was worth the time.
No.
So I'm sticking with A Gifted Man for the show you must avoid. We'll go to, who wants to go next? Jared, Adam?
I'll go next.
Adam. Jared's going to clean it up. I like it.
So there was a weird trend in TV new shows, and people are making a bigger deal out of it than I think is worth than it's worth. But this whole notion of emasculating men as part of the,
are you talking about like the chick flicks where the man turns into a pussy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so I was looking at that.
So you picked Man Up, right?
I almost did. I picked one of the shows that
precedes it.
Yeah, I think it actually immediately precedes it.
Yep.
I picked Last Man Standing, which is the Tim Allen, totally not Home Improvement.
So it's not a TV adaptation of the Bruce Willis film.
Does that show start right away? Is that like start in September?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. So the whole thing on this show is Tim Allen's character works in a outdoors shop, like.
He used to work in a mechanical or in like a home improvement type of thing. That's the name of the show.
Yeah. And in Home Improvement, it was Tim, his three boys,
Tim the Tool Man Taylor,
yes, and his wife. Now,
shake it up.
And he's the only man.
Oh,
and it's his wife and his two daughters, who he describes as fun loving. Because it's hard because most of the time people fucking hate fun. I just want to throw that out there.
Anti-fun. That's what this podcast is about.
Yeah.
Anti-fun.
So I really liked E! Online had a one sentence overall review of it, and I really liked it. Their verdict, DVR it, if only for the Toy Story references. So
okay.
Oh, who in the hell wrote that?
I thought that perfect. Oh, okay. So don't really watch it, and if you are going to watch it, not for anything on the actual show, just for a one-off joke that they have. So There you go. Last okay. man standing.
Last man standing.
Oh.
I like that. Jared? Does your show have the word man in it as well?
No, it does not, actually. I picked a show just kind of threw a dart at a dartboard, I guess. And then once I read about it, I'm like, that seems like a good pick. So I went with a new comedy on NBC Wednesday nights called Free Agents.
I looked at that one, too. Yeah,
a crooked workplace slash romantic new comedy based on the cult UK series. And there, for me, is like, really? We're going to adapt another UK show? Those haven't fared too well over here.
Very rarely are they successful.
The UK series of the same name that explores the trials and tribulations of two public relations executives on the rebound. Oh, boy.
Yep. Sounds great.
Sounds boring. You get a decent cast. You've got Hank Azaria, fresh off of his success as Gargamel in the Smurfs movie.
Well,
right?
I mean, that is opening doors left and right.
Catherine Hahn from Hung, Mo Mandel from Love Bites and Modern Family. Al Madrigal, I like him. He was on The Wizards of Waverly Place. Gary Unmarried.
One of your favorites.
He's been popping up on The Daily Show now. Frequent guest on the Jordan Jesse Go podcast. And Anthony, I don't know why they left out the Stewart, but it's Anthony Head.
Not Head.
From Merlin and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing maybe he's, I don't know anything about the show, so I don't know if he's like the token UK member of the original show that's coming over. I don't know. I guess he's at least British.
Okay. He's
so
British.
So you got that
connection.
So, and there's a decent cast, but I don't know. The premise itself just seems like, oh boy, another people are on the rebound from a relationship and have to find love while dealing with shit. I don't know. It seems boring.
Yeah.
And it's like in the 8:30 or something time slot. It's like, and it's 9:30.
Yeah, it follows that up all night.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of... That's a show that I'm probably going
to
watch, actually.
I wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
As we're done with this one now. Are you guys watching Up All Night? Because I'm a little on the fence.
I have it set to record / download.
I hear so many good things about it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh boy, a couple dealing with a new baby. I don't know.
It's a great cast, though.
Care about that. And I like
great
the cast.
Great cast.
I think I'm swayed to watch it after reading the article in EW about how it's not about the baby. It's about hitting that point in your life where you've suddenly, you know, you've got to deal, something changes, so you've got to become an adult and deal with stuff. I'm like, okay, I guess I can get behind that.
I watched a clip of it, or a couple clips of it, and I related to them in a lot of ways. But, like I said, the cast is great. You got Will Arnett,
yep,
who is, I think they've toned him down. He's not so wacky in this, which may or may not be good. But
yeah, he's playing more straight up.
Christina Applegate, who can be very funny, mm-hmm, and you've got Maya Rudolph as well, who was pretty funny in Bridesmaids, so, and SNL. It's a good cast.
Yes. Yeah. So it's on my schedule of new shows.
Okay. Christina Applegate, always underrated as a comedic actress.
Yeah, I think so. You put her in the right situation, and she really shines.
Doesn't have real titties anymore.
Before we get to the canceled shows, I'm just curious what other new shows you guys are trying out. Just, you know, just names.
Terra Nova.
You gonna
give that a shot.
I have no actual hope for it.
I think it's far too robust of a concept to actually be something that doesn't look that much better than something you'd see on Sci-Fi Channel.
American Horror Story sounded interesting.
Yeah.
Sounded in past tense. Uh-oh. What happened?
No, I mean, I should say, like, it initially sounded interesting, but then I realized it's Ryan Murphy, so that means it'll just... Like,
be all gay.
Well, it's easy to be cynical about it, but I've liked the first season of
Glee.
No, of Nip Tuck. I like the first, and his shows just go out the fucking wall like immediately, and that show looks like it starts kind of weird and crazy. So I don't know.
I'm gonna give that one a shot too.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely looks interesting. I should be using present tense because hasn't disappointed me yet.
But my problem is not a lot of shows from last season are gone. Mm-hmm. That I watch, so I don't know where I can fit in more stuff to watch.
Oh, I have a lot go away, so I'm good.
Okay, I will. I'll let Jared talk about his shows.
You guys pretty much covered
that animated
Terra Nova, Ringer.
Yeah,
what's the
Up All Night, American Horror Story?
What's the one that's not Grimm, but it's the other fairy tale?
Once Upon a Time or something.
One
like
of
that?
Those are supposed to be possibly good show.
Okay, one's on Showtime, right?
No, one's on CBS on Sunday, one's on NBC on Friday.
Or maybe, yeah.
Grimm is the police procedural one. The other one is...
An actual fairy tale one.
Total. There's a lot of flashbacks and stuff.
Jonah Hill's animated show, that sounded interesting. I always like Jonah Hill stuff.
I know you guys don't watch reality shows, but we will in our house will for sure watch The X Factor. We'll see how it actually plays, but sure. We'll at least give
What's
it a
the
try.
Draw of that show? I don't.
Simon Cowell is the draw of the show.
Like, it's just another singing show, though.
It's kind of American Idol mixed with The Voice. I mean, if you want to combine it, but X Factor is a long-standing program everywhere else except here.
I understand that.
So that's sort of the pedigree of it. It's a singing competition ultimately that puts more focus on the judges' personalities because they have them training them and.
Do they have any sway over who stays and who goes? Is that still purely audience vote?
I think initially they do.
Okay.
And then I think that changes as they get further into the show.
All right. You gonna watch Hater?
I watched a trailer for that. And I'm like, you know what? That conceptually, that's not a bad idea.
Is this
for
the
a
Mario
show.
Lopez show?
Yes. Okay. It's not a bad idea, but everything else about it, I hate Mario. Speaking of Hater, I hate Mario Lopez. But I think, you know, wouldn't it be great to meet Snooki and tell her she's a whore or Kim Kardashian? You know, I mean, that's really what it is. But then by the end of the show, they're going to change you. You're going to come to grips with them as people, understand they're just like you and me.
Yeah, poor celebrities.
I'd say you're famous because you did a porno. You. That's the story of your life.
Did you
right
guys
there.
Read the thing on? It was in Gawker, so I don't know if it's real, but about Chris Humphries sitting next to Ray J on a plane.
Yes, I heard about that.
And okay, anyway, look it up if you haven't. Yep. It's just a funny anecdote.
Well, let's do one last thing here. Unless everyone's covered all their covered all their shows.
We've
got
to
our annual tradition of first show to be canceled. I don't know about you, gentlemen. I found it very hard to pick this year.
I did, too. And we're basing this off of number of episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they all debut at different times. There you go.
Number of episodes. That is the standing rule. So why don't we start with you, Adam?
Okay.
You pick your show. Doesn't have to be as we established before the show, doesn't have to be the one you should avoid. We're thinking of a bunch of different reasons why this could be the
exactly.
first show canceled.
First off... if I could, I would cancel what Christina Ricci did to her boobs.
Okay. What did she do to them?
She got them reduced.
She did, huh?
That has happened a few years ago. I just haven't seen her since. Okay. She's tiny now because she's in that Pan Am show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's a toss-up between this Grimm and Free Agents, but I guess... I don't know if it's easier for them to cancel hour-longs or what, but I guess I'll go with Free Agents. I kind of want to do Charlie's Angels, but... I assume the push behind that is really big. I don't watch the commercials, so I don't know. So I'll go with Free Agents.
Okay. Jared, why don't you give your show and your reasoning why?
Free Agents was on my list, but not the one I was going to pick. It was just there as a reserve choice if somebody else picked me one. I'm feeling like network television isn't capable of supporting two 60s-based dramas.
Oh, Jared and I are in the same boat.
So I had to make a choice between which one I think is going to be the one to go. And while I think the Playboy Club has sex appeal, I think it's also up against Hawaii Five-0 and Castle, both two very successful shows. I think the Playboy Club is in trouble and it will be canceled first.
I think that is a good pick. In the upfronts, it was just getting destroyed from the reviews, I guess.
Okay, well, I will pick my show. My show comes from Academy Award winning executive producer Brian Glazer. It's an NBC drama.
Yep.
It's the Playboy Club.
What?
I picked the same show as you. I felt that...
Is that even right? What are the rules on that?
No, it's fine.
All right.
I mean, that's fine.
You guys are a D20. yep. And
fair enough.
Sorry, I feel like exactly what you said is correct, Jared.
Yep.
These 60s shows that are really aping the success of Mad Men, but they certainly can't do the time period or the era justice because they're on network TV. So, for instance... Pan Am has no smoking. That's an ABC Disney edict, even though they have tons of smoking. I think Playboy Club shows cigarettes. I don't know if they're smoking them or not. And it's on NBC. Mm-hmm. NBC, still a struggling network, believe it or not. And what Adam said up front.
Imagine they were the kings.
They were. Ugh. I think the upfronts showed that of these two shows, the Pan Am show was better and better cast, maybe even a little more interesting. I think it's gone. I think that will be the first show to go, but I think Adam's picks are great as well.
Yep.
I think Grimm, one of those fantasy fairy tale-y shows could go. So
I was thinking Grimm too, but it's on Friday, so it's like expectations are so low on Friday. Yeah. I don't know.
I think it will the tale will be told when that first major week of shows and then you get that one that just nobody watched.
Maybe nothing will be canceled. Maybe everything will do great.
Yeah, well, wouldn't that be nice?
You don't think that maybe they had, like, their agreement with Playboy in media industries, whatever, like, required them to have a certain number of episodes regardless?
That's very possible, but...
That was my concern about it.
That's...
I was reading an interview.
It's a risk.
During upfronts, they do interviews with, like, the, you know, the creator, the showrunners, the cast and everything. And... like, both that and Pan Am have a weird objectification of women aspect to it. Mm-hmm. But the Playboy, the people on the Playboy Club kept trying to defend it and say it was all women's lib and stuff like
that. Empowering.
Yeah. And it's just like, really?
You don't see it.
It's weird.
It was the 60s. It was people dressed in bunny costumes. Yeah, I mean, it was sex appeal.
Objectification. For, yeah, bam.
That's what it was. All right.
So there we go. Well, we've done our picks. My notes, Playboy Club, Playboy, and what did you pick again?
I'm still going to go with what's it called?
Free Agents.
Free Agents.
Free Agents.
Thank you. I already forgot
for
the
NBC,
name of it.
Not getting any love from us.
Yep. And considering most of the network programs I watch are on NBC, that's a surprise, but there you go. So let's wrap this segment up, Jared, and we will definitely stay on top of this and let everyone know who wins in the first show canceled bit. Take a break. We'll... do a little music, and then we'll come back with the rest of the scope. Thanks for listening.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it. I grew up on the crime side. The new.
Wow, I did not plan this very well. Hey, this is I needed the one with the bumper, and well, here we go. Let's just start this over. Courtesy of the current song of the day, feed at thecurrent.org. This is the mashup project Wugazi with Sleep Rules Everything Around Me here on The Scope.
I grew up on the crime side, the New York Times side. Staying alive was no job, had second hands. Moms bounced on old men, so then we moved to Shaolin Land. A young youth, you're rocking the gold tooth. Low goose, only way I begin to G York was drug loot. And let's start it like this, son. Rolling with this one and that one, pulling up gats for fun. But it was just a dream for the teen who was a fiend. Started smoking wools at 16 and running up in gates and doing hits for high stakes, making my way on fire escapes. No question, I was speed for cracks and weed. The combination made my eyes bleed. No question, I will flow off and try to get the dough off. Sticking up right boys in bull court. My life got no better. Same damn low sweater. Times is rough and tough like leather. Figured out I went the wrong route, so I got with a sick tight click and went all out. Catching keys from cross seas, rolling in MPVs. Every week we made 40 G's. Yo, brothers, respect mine. I ain't gonna tech now. From the gate now.
I'm so dead. She broke out of me. No more struggle. No more energy.
It's been 22 long, hard years. I'm still struggling. Survival got me bugging, but I'm alive on arrival. I'll be back to safe in the streets. I stay awake to the ways of the world. Deep. A man with a dream, with plans to make green with fear. I went to jail at the age of 15. Young buck, selling drugs and such, who never had much, trying to get a clutch on what I could not touch. The book played me short, now I face incarceration. Mason, going upstate's my destination. Handcuffed in back of a bus, 40 of us. Life as a shorty shouldn't be so rough. But as the world turned, I learned life was hell. Living in the world no different from a cell. Every day I skate from takes, giving chase, selling bass. Smoking bones in the staircase. Though I don't know why I told you smoke cess. I guess that's the time when I'm not depressed. But I'm still depressed. And I ask, what's your work? Ready to give up so I seek the old earth. Who explain working hard may help you maintain. To learn to overcome the heartaches and pain. You got stick up kids, corrupt cops and crack rocks. Stray shots, all of the block stays hot. Leave it up to me while I be living proof. To the young black youth, the shorties running wild, smoking cess, drinking beer, and ain't trying to hear what I'm kicking in his ear. Neglect it for now, but yo, it got to be it.
It's the scope.
Under the scope.
We're back. Marathon Scope coming at you. Episode 114, bleeding into 115 and 116. I'm really excited about this next segment.
Are you?
I am. It's called the news. And Adam has moved into a new generation. He's got his news loaded up on two machines.
Wow.
No, this is...
He's got a small machine and a big machine.
One of them is me trying to fix your... You're missing some of the coming soons, that's all.
God almighty. Ball busting. You left and right.
All of the coming soons.
You tried calling me out.
Wow.
Not calling you out.
Can't do with the thing, do with the other thing.
All right. So you've got 3 months worth of news to pick from. I hope you pick timely stories.
Yeah. Everything that are gonna, from the last couple of days.
They're going to impact our readers,
listeners. I hear that there's an argument over the debt ceiling.
How's that? Yeah, that ceiling. Right. How's that playing out?
Right.
Give us an update.
All right. You ready?
Born.
First off, I really like this headline. Hold on to your yarmulkes.
Oh, my goodness. Of course you do.
Mel Gibson is developing a movie about Jewish warrior Judah Maccabee.
I saw this headline. Give me some more information on this.
Is hold on to your yarmulkes not enough information for you?
What, are they going to be flying off with rage? Is that the...
So, in case you're not down with your Old Testament history...
I'm not.
Judah Maccabee was a Jewish warrior who, his father, and his four brothers, I think... helped take back the Holy Land of Jerusalem, or I guess the city of Jerusalem. And the story of Hanukkah is about them.
This is a perfect time for Mel Gibson clips if we got them.
Don't have any. Sorry.
Blow me.
So that's story 1A. Story 1B.
Oh, there's a part 2 to it.
Anti-Defamation League condemns Mel Gibson's involvement in Maccabee film. The great thing about this is I looked at the timestamps of these. The announcement of him directing or whatever this movie was like 10:05 a.m. The ADL response was like 10:40 a.m.
It was like they were sitting there waiting to type it up. What's your take on this? You're a Jewish guy.
I don't fucking care about any of this.
Is Mel doing this trying to get in the good graces?
It's weird. Like, why would he...
Yeah. Like, is he going to do a picture that... destroys this guy, or is
no,
it going to be something where it's going to be loving?
He really likes violence and biblical history, I think, is all it comes down to.
If it can involve Jews, all the better.
Like,
the new thing these days is for like crazy Christian people to like love Jews. And especially Israel, you know, because that's the end times come.
Yeah, of
when,
course.
When the Jews get their house back.
He doesn't love them.
You fucking cunt.
That's true. I mean, he loves the idea of them. I don't know. So anyway, that's a weird thing.
And he's like a fucking bitch on heat. And if you get raped by a pack of niggers, it'll be your fault.
Wow. I picked the worst one. I hope that's not in the movie.
Those are all bleeps whenever I've heard them on Access Hollywood or Extra.
Lying to me about fake tits.
he's doing that movie instead of What Women Want To.
I know.
I mean,
Let's hear a clip from What Women Want Too, Jared.
For me being drunk and disorderly, for hitting you, for what?
It's a much darker take.
Did you guys see
Helen Hunt? What?
Did you see how much The Beaver made this summer? He was in that Jodie Foster movie.
No.
It was like less than $250,000.
Say that again?
It was less than $250,000.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes.
He agrees. He's sad.
Okay. All right, so that's it. That's all I had for Mel Gibson stuff.
Go to the goddamn jacuzzi yourself. Go to the fucking jacuzzi. It's a
sin. Going out with a bang, I guess.
Mel might have some more comments on your other news stories. The rate we're going.
Do you guys think he's done? Do you guys watch TLC ever?
Sure, from time to time.
Do you know what TLC stands for?
The Learning
Channel.
Was
the Learning Channel?
It was. I don't know what it really is, or if it's just letters now. But yeah, used to be Learning Channel. Anyway,
my wife watches Hoarders.
Does she watch Toddlers and Tiaras?
No, she does not. Okay.
But do you watch The Soup? Do you watch
Oh, yeah, I know. So I'm very familiar with the show. Yeah.
So it's been my contention this whole time that the FBI just produces this show as a honeypot for pedophiles.
This is a way to arrest people.
Right.
Honeypot. I
like it.
So anyway, people are fucking freaking out this week because the TLC put a preview out of the this upcoming episode where 3-year-old Paisley, a pageant contestant, is dressed up as the Julia Roberts character from Pretty Woman, who, right, happens to be a hooker.
High class prostitute.
And she, also, I don't know what it's called, walks to the song, the Pretty Woman song. So the
song
actual,
by whom?
That old guy with the
Jared?
With the name.
Roy Orbison?
Roy Orbison.
Yeah. So the actual episode hasn't aired yet, just that promo. But the Parents Television Council, the PTC, who are just in general terrible people.
They're wackos.
Yeah.
They're in for they're in favor of it this time.
No, no. They're calling for the series to be canceled.
Well, I think that's something we can all get behind.
Yeah. They're urging its members to contact TLC and demand the network immediately pulls the show off the air. I don't really understand that why this is the catalyst.
The backbreaker.
For that. You know, like not just in general.
Yeah, the three other seasons or whatever they've had of it isn't evidence enough.
So what I thought was interesting was so I watched this clip and in it I've never heard any of these pageant moms actually like have like kind of a self-doubting thought, you know, or like, you know, being able to like process how the outside world views them. Yeah. I don't watch the show though, so maybe that's why. But she, so this other mom of a different child says like, us pageant moms are already looked at as monsters.
Mm-hmm.
So to dress your daughter up like that is, you know, she's like, I would never do that to my baby. And meanwhile, like her baby's probably dressed up as, you know, a different whore.
Yeah.
Cleopatra. I don't know.
Yeah.
Princess Leia, slave outfit.
By pageant moms, you actually mean strangely obese trailer park women or slightly gender unspecific males who have adopted their children.
So this no decision by TLC.
No, it's the verdict's still out. They're researching it.
That show pulls in a lot of viewers. Supposedly,
it's a train wreck of sickness.
Yeah,
and that's why people watch it.
I just watch The Soup. Enough.
Oh, I know. It's I have a hard time laughing at it on The Soup because it's so disturbing.
That one where the little girl's on a wagon and she falls into the woods and her fat mom's chasing her is pretty funny.
Did you ever see the Jimmy Kimmel bit where they had
Tom Hanks? Hanks? Yes.
That was really funny.
That was really good.
And it was right on the money.
Sexy princess.
Didn't he used to spray her or something and she was naughty? Okay.
All right. So next, I don't know if I want to talk about this. EA is being sued by a bunch of college athletes or former college athletes because you know they've been using them in the NCAA games,
okay,
and not being compensated for it. I don't
know. How does EA get out of that? They're saying since they're in college, we can use you. I thought they
don't use their names, but it's
everything
the exact
else.
Likeness. Yeah, it's the right height. You know, their faces look like them and everything. EA won their first lawsuit because since the Supreme Court deemed video games to be art. EA gets the
claim. Roger Ebert screamed.
Right. Well, no, he didn't.
Roger Ebert's computer screamed.
Yeah. So EA can claim First Amendment and say, you know, and because they don't use the players' names, so they can say it's a free speech issue for them. They can make them look however they want. Like at some point, this is going to have to come down to players. College athletes getting compensated.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
For it,
so. It would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah. Not just by EA, but you know, by their
in
colleges.
General.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bringing in $20 million for a bowl. So we mentioned the on the TV preview that there's this trend of emasculating men, and I read this terrible article about it. So Work It is another show that for some reason we didn't choose. It must be a mid-season replacement. It's basically Bosom Buddies.
Is that with Johnny Drama?
Yes.
No. That's
Dylan?
Another show.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where two alpha males dress and drag to get jobs.
Yeah.
Because the economy is bad.
It's very hard. Very hard to get jobs out there.
So there's that one. Also, they claim that the term man up was popularized last year by Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann.
It's been popular for a lot longer than that.
That's strange.
And then like they talk about how that the Prime Suspect with Maria Bello is an example of a male-dominated job being, you know, having women star in it and how Charlie's Angels is an example of
that. Maria Bello show, isn't that?
That's a UK
that's
series.
That's a UK
that's
show
being adapted, yeah. And Charlie's Angels is not new.
No,
well, not only is
the third time it's been redone,
and not only that, like that's an, just as an objectifying time. Show as anything else.
Sure.
They're all going to be wearing skimpy stuff. So I don't know. I thought this the whole idea is a little insane.
You're putting the kibosh on it.
Yeah. ESPN and the NFL reached a deal to continue Monday Night Football through 2021.
Wow.
$15 billion.
Holy crap.
Which is a 73% increase over their prior agreements.
Yeah, the NBA's or the NFL's making bank on renegotiating the contracts.
What's the most popular sport in America? The television ratings for football is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's constantly every week. So all 17, 18 weeks, Monday Night Football was on ESPN. Last season, it was the number one show for young men. Like, I didn't see a breakdown of the entire.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
demographics.
Right. So, but is that just 18 to 29 or 18 to 39? I don't know. It seems like a lot of money.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's killer, too, because people watch it live and see all the commercials.
Yep.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. So mm-hmm. they can get better ad rates because mm-hmm. there's no DVR stuff. Hmm. Okay.
Talk about bank.
The worst part about this news, ESPN has agreed to make the Monday Night Kickoff show, the pregame show for Monday Night Football, 3 hours long now.
Oh, my
so more
God.
Chris Berman. More Chris Berman. Do you remember when the last Monday Night Football pregame show on ESPN ended and Chris Berman and Tom Jackson cried?
No, I don't remember.
This was
that.
Like, because, you know, like during, I don't know, they shifted how all this stuff works. So technically Monday Night Countdown ended.
Okay.
And then it restarted, or it's called Monday Night Kickoff now, or whatever. And Tom Jackson and Chris Berman cried. And it was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I need to look that up on the YouTube.
Let's see. Did you hear Apple lost another new iPhone
prototype? Yes, I did
prototype?
Hear that. I think Jared's behind it. First, I lose their
Stop
CEO.
Stop taking your prototypes to bars.
Yeah, that's very strange.
So it's all still coming out, but I guess the police are kind of looking into it now because supposedly Apple may have gotten the police department to to search this guy's house without any actual documentation.
Ooh.
They didn't document the case because Apple requested it not to be documented. There's a lot of shady stuff going on. They didn't have a warrant, but when they came to this guy's house, they said, "Can we search your house for a lost item?" And he gave permission. So technically they didn't need a warrant if he had said no, then they could have just turned him over. But I guess there were two Apple security representatives actually there during the search, but they may have portrayed themselves as police officers.
Well, let me be the first to say that I'm in support of whatever Apple does. Apple never does anything wrong.
Right.
They make all the best products. So do what you got to do.
You want an iPhone 5.
Amen. Yes.
Are you doing for an upgrade soon?
No, I got a year, so I will not get an iPhone
5. I am, and we are on Sprint at work, so I'm really hoping that these iPhone 5 Sprint rumors are true.
With the unlimited data plan?
Yes.
Look at you, Adam.
That just leaves T-Mobile.
Well, and they'll be gone eventually anyway.
Yeah.
We're on T-Mobile at work, so.
You're always left out in the cold.
So there's this funny story.
I finally
about
got 2.3 on my Android.
Yay.
about this guy who built a add-on to his remote control that
I thought you were going to say a crime computer that could figure out who was going to be the next victim.
I'm going to build a crime computer for you.
He uses precogs.
After the violence.
He hacked his TV remote so that it will automatically mute the sound if if any words that he specifies are spoken, and his first one was for Snooki. So it can read closed captioning. And then basically just send the mute, do a virtual press of the mute button on his remote control. And so he says he did it for Charlie Sheen, Sarah Palin, Donald Trump, and now for Snooki. And he'll be showing it off at the Maker Faire in New York. And he said it cost him about $70 to make, and he put all the plans online.
He's sharing it. What a good guy.
A few months ago,
how many news stories we got going on here?
I think this is the last one. You said I had to fill like a long time.
I did.
A few months ago,
you're
going
to break 2 hours. I'm pretty sure.
You came in and you were like, "We have to talk about this Dead Island, game." We have to
no one listened to me.
And did you buy this Dead Island?
I didn't
game?
Buy it.
Jared, did you buy this Dead Island game?
I finally beat Fable 3, though.
All right.
There we go.
Well, Dead Island, it got me a pretty decent review.
It's a very mixed reviews. But, very bad to very good.
But what happened with their release on Steam was not mixed. It was all bad. So supposedly... They accidentally, because so on the way Steam works.
Explain, give us the entire Steam breakdown. Very.
Steam
I is hear about
I hear infrastructure. Steam is an online store for buying PC games.
Okay.
And you can preload games because you're downloading, it might be like a 10 gig game.
Sure.
So you can pre-download them and you can't actually play it until Steam like sends a code and it unlocks. So anyone that preloaded.
Do you ever do Steam stuff?
Sure. Yeah, okay. I did for Dragon Age 1.
Okay. Very timely. I just busted your ass. What do you want?
So
me either.
So anyone that did this preloading thing for Dead Island wound up getting a developmental build of the game.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's always trouble when that happens.
Was just broken as shit. Like if you see the... So they released a day one patch, but the way that Steam works is you have to... There's a complicated thing where developers have to release the patch to Steam, and then Steam has to do a thing. So anyway, if you had downloaded it through Steam, you weren't getting the patch for a couple days. Mm-hmm. And they listed all the changes of the patch, and it was just like pages and pages long.
Sure.
Because the game was just broken. So not a good way to release your game. And I guess the Xbox One has been having a lot of issues, too.
Hmm. Didn't they build... Did you have this in your story? Like... someone was digging into the code and because how you level up, you know, you have different classes.
Yep.
And they named one of the classes, like, for the sort of the tough girl, it was like Dirty Whore or something.
That was
like that.
That's an NPC that was then since removed from the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Oopsie. People find that stuff.
Feminine Whore.
Feminine Whore. Oh, yeah. It was because it was a feminist dig.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dirty Whore, though.
Yeah.
So is Mel Gibson.
All right. That's video. That's news. A lot of stuff happened over the last
Lot of stuff,
months.
Jared. Very, very good. So let's, we don't have any reviews today, right. Since we pretty much reviewed the entire fall season. So let's push right on to coming soon.
It's a weird remix.
Why am I getting stutter edits on my sound? Go ahead.
All right.
Just push on through.
I heard it too, if that helps.
I kinda like
coming
this.
Soon, September 13th. There's a lot of music.
I told you, I wasn't joshing you.
Holy. All right.
It's going to be tight, y'all.
Alice Cooper has an album coming
out.
We've
got all the time in the world.
Is this
Alice Cooper really?
So Shane, is this like is this a joke right here? This Alice Cooper thing?
I'm pulling this from Metacritic.
All right,
so it's good.
Anthrax, timely. Blondie, Bush, nice. Think that'll be a good album?
No.
Did they have any album after 16 Candle, Stone,
16
whatever?
Stone
yeah,
or whatever.
They did.
Yeah.
Razorblade Suitcase.
That was good, too, right?
I liked like the first three or four albums.
Didn't he just have a hit? Didn't their last album have a big ballad hit on it? They did.
It's been a while. But
No, like a year ago.
They had an album a year ago?
It was either Gavin Rosdale or Bush had a huge hit.
Why am I unaware of this? I need to check out Bush.
Look it up.
I won't.
I need more Bush in my life.
I think that's something we can all get behind.
Das Racist.
Talking about the beer, right?
I think this is actually their first real album.
I know you like Das Racist.
Das Racist, for those of you that don't know, have a great song called The Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Translation from German, The Racist.
The Racist, yeah. Yes. Dream Theater, those guys. Girls.
Michael Craven will be happy.
Lady Antebellum.
Mm-hmm.
She never got big here. Kind of weird. Like,
who?
Lady Antebellum.
It's not just a she. What
it's a threesome.
Nope.
It's country black eyed peas.
Oh, I'm thinking of Lady...
Gaga? Yeah, nope. She's big here, too.
No. Lady Antebellum is huge here.
They're huge.
It's a British lady something.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Lady Antebellum. Primus. Stained. Oh, it's like the best week ever. The Bangles? Is this really how...
Is this all like weird throwback stuff? What's going on?
Is this really how the band The Bangles spells The Bangles? Or did you copy and paste
this? That's how they spell it.
I never knew they spelled it wrong.
How do they spell it?
They spell
Lady
it...
Lady Sovereign.
Lady Sovereign, thank you. They spell it B and then Angles instead of... Because Bangles, like the cat, is G-A-L-S. Bengal.
Oh, Bengals. I always thought it was like Bangles, like jewelry and shit. Anyway.
Oh,
look, the light bulb just went right off.
I've never got that before. All right.
Look at you. Look, he's pleased.
The Devil Wears Prada, which is a band.
You've never heard of it.
September
20th. You're the youngster of the group.
The September 20th, Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have an album coming out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that'll be better than their sophomore effort. Demi Lovato, I don't know.
She's a
Kasabian?
Disney Channel.
I know them. Tony Bennett and Tori Amos.
Tony Bennett has a duet with
Tori Amos.
Amy Winehouse.
Okay, so Bush has not had a group album since Golden Slate. What? Golden State. I can't speak. 2001. So it must have been Gavin
Look
Rosdell.
Look up Gavin Rosdell. Then right. he definitely had a solo.
So 16 Stone, Razorblade Suitcase, The Science of Things, and Golden State. All had good songs on them. I'm coming out and saying it.
That's fine. I wouldn't disagree with you. I think that in the entire 16 Candle was good. 16 Stone.
You don't even know the name of the album. How do we trust you?
I don't listen to the rock and roll.
16 Pence on the Richard.
How much did
the
Beaver make at box office again?
Less than $250,000.
Okay.
Movie, September 16th. I Don't Know How She Does It, or Sex and the City 3, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it.
Sneak preview tonight.
You're going?
No.
Remember how I told you to like sign me up?
No.
I understand that.
It's not something that I have tickets for. It's just like a sneak preview tonight.
But I'm talking about how you kept getting those deals.
Did you do it?
No, you didn't send it to me.
Okay. I'll send it to you.
Write it down.
I'm going to write a note.
Drive. Molly, very excited about Drive. I think it has...
it's a Cannes Film Festival winner.
Ryan Gosling without a shirt at one point. And Straw Dogs, a remake, I assume, of the Dustin Hoffman movie.
I would assume so, but I don't know for sure.
That, talking about emasculation, that's Straw Dogs. September 23rd, Dolphin Tale, animated?
No, it's the true story of a dolphin that lost its tail. And they built a mechanical flipper for it.
Killer Elite.
Wow. he gave me Borg, and I said, it's a story. Boring.
Killer Elite.
Yeah.
Moneyball.
Mm-hmm.
Moneyball, the story of Billy Bean of the Oakland Athletics.
Billy Bean.
And how to be a general manager. Kind of funny. Because
last heavy Jonah Hill film, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah? He's much smaller now. I do know that. What if he gets fat again, though?
I didn't know he still had some heavy films in the can.
That's one heavy film.
And Abduction. I don't know what that is. DVD, September 13th, Glee Season 2, It's Always Funny Season 6, Thor, and the Star Wars Saga on Blu-ray. Is that the Blu-ray release of all six movies?
Yep.
So we all know about all the changes. We didn't talk about all those.
Well, we can talk about them in the next show.
Okay, so I have an idea to make Mandy watch all six of them in the...
Has she seen all Star Wars movies?
She is evasive when I ask her these questions.
So we'll talk about our plans off air.
Okay. That's a no.
That's a no.
I think she has seen parts of all six of them, is my assumption. September 20th, Bridesmaids.
Like how I saw part of a boob when I was 12. It was awesome.
That's like how I saw part of a boob, but I really haven't to this day.
Everything is how I saw part of a boob.
Yeah.
And Modern Family Season 2. Video games. We are getting into video game season.
Yes.
It's the release of Madden that equals video
game
season.
That's a kickoff. It's a kickoff.
So September 11th, the week of... NHL 12.
Knock, knock.
There's not a United 93, the game? Anything like that?
That came out a couple years ago. But you also don't have... I guess these are all last week.
We can't laugh.
Driver and stuff like that.
True. We got to say something funny first.
What else comes out? Gears of War 3. You guys like Gears of War games?
I think they're a little overrated, but maybe the third one's better.
I've never been a fan of them. Mm. And this MMA game that's been around for a couple years. People that like... fighting games like
Adam is
I know, I'm sorry,
the paper is not sufficient. Adam needs to amend the
list. Well, because there's a couple that I thought Shane forgot, but it looks like they are the very next week. So
guess what, Shane is right.
Well, it says something that you have to point it out like that.
Maybe you could delegate the list to Adam since he seems to be right so much.
Okay, you do it. It's yours. Coming soon is yours.
Go fuck yourself. That's it. Nothing else is coming soon.
That's it. We don't need any more. Jared, stop rubbing your stubble on your microphone and let's push on.
Are we done with the show?
No, you have to show me this art.
All right. We'll close it up.
Under the scope.
All righty. What's our time tally, Jared?
We are at 1:58 and 30 seconds.
You know, I listen to three podcasts every week that are over 2 hours, and I like every time I get to listen to those. I don't care.
And they're never the scope.
So liking the show is a key factor.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You've got to like the show to put the time in.
We really only got one comment. Since we haven't been doing regular shows, anything we've gotten over the past is sort of dated, and we're not going to get into it. But this is kind of an important thing because this calls back to our last show in June. And we have an update to report. So here we go. This is from, we'll just let him say, to Jared, Shane, and Adam. Newly appointed Scope staff artist Luke Ski here. You'll find attached a black and white cartoon/caricature image based on the parameters set forth by Shane in episode 111 of the Scope.
I don't remember these.
And he continues to list them. Here we go.
Listen to the parameters.
Parameter number one, Adam as Egon Spengler from the Real Ghostbusters, crashing through the skylight into Convergence with a fan man style parachute and fan.
I do remember these.
With steampunk accoutrements, derby with gadgety goggles.
Okay, I see it so far.
Check.
Parameter the second, Jared as Michael Jordan, jersey, basketball, and ball cap.
Hitler
wearing
mustache.
Wearing a Ryan is done t-shirt and a Hitler mustache.
Yes.
And he is added to the list. Number three, there were no parameters set for Shane, so I did the most obvious thing and drew him as Glitter from Kid Video.
Yeah, that's a check.
Please also note the additions of Room Partiers, Angie Belly Dancing, Holly as Poison Ivy, Earl as Wingard, and a sippy cup of alcohol, and Blaster Bill giving the thumbs up. So if you would now please reveal this artwork to Adam so he may see the finished product.
What do you think?
Wow. I love it. This is really good.
It's epic is what it is. Yeah. It's an epic drawing.
So there you go. You're crashing through the roof of Convergence in your fan man parachute dressed as Egon Spengler.
That's the toughest one. I mean, there's a lot going on in Adam's costume. There's a lot.
I am a big fan of Shade as Glitter.
Yeah.
I'm not as much of a fan. You know, I have to say, by the way, in the last episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm,
yes,
Larry David talks specifically about Michael Jordan sporting the Hitler mustache and how he's getting away with it.
I'm just catching up on, I'm on like 5 episodes in.
It made me laugh.
Might be the best season ever.
Oh, I don't know about that.
So Luke says he's willing to color the image, but only if it be made into a poster, t-shirts, to be sold with all proceeds going to us.
Yes, let's do all that.
I think that's a vote of confidence for you to proceed.
I think it is.
There you
thank
have
you
it.
Very much, Luke Ski.
Yes,
that is
thank you.
Really a fantastic drawing.
Did you expect that, number one, Luke would actually follow through with this, or that he would, and number two, that he would execute it with such perfect detail?
I felt that he would execute it.
Okay.
I think he's always up to a challenge. I think all good artists are up to a challenge. The fact that he went the extra mile and added all sorts of stuff in there, that impresses me. I mean, he made it an action sequence. So
the mics have WSCP on them. I mean,
you can tell that you listen to the show.
Attention to detail.
Yeah. Well, if you've got attention to detail, you can email us at comments@thescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook.com/TheScope. Twitter.com/TheScopeShow. Don't get them confused.
We're getting back. We're going to get back into it, aren't we, Jared?
Do we have a JPEG or TIFF or GIF or PNG of this?
Well, obviously, we have something because I printed it out. Yeah, I think it's a JPEG. Pretty high res. But I don't have a collar one yet.
So Jared's going to post that on our website. Right, Jared?
Yeah. I'll scale it down and post it so that everyone can see hard work.
You can even put it on our Facebook page if you want. Whatever you want to do. I'll leave all the details to you.
Sure. You know, I haven't checked and see if we had any iTunes reviews lately.
Probably not.
That's always an option.
Have they kicked us off iTunes?
Shane, anyone can play in that pool.
All right, thank you.
Anyone can play.
That's why I say nice things about Apple Corporation.
Indeed.
As always, there's a donate button on the website. $5 gets you a sponsorship of the show and your name mentioned right at the top. There's also a $2 per month subscription if you feel like giving on a regular basis. So far, nobody's taking us up on that offer.
No, and not even us.
So now that we're hopefully back on a more regular schedule, maybe you would like to get on a regular schedule as well with your $2 contribution.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
I want $2 because $1, too big the chunk comes out of it.
Exactly.
We don't want chunks taken up.
We do not.
And as always, if you're going to shop online through Amazon.com, make sure you come and check on our banner first. Click on that, and a small chunk of your sale goes to us. Doesn't cost you any more, and it helps to benefit the show. That's all I got, Shane.
All right. So, you have any plugs, by the way, Jared? Are any shows coming up that I need to know about?
Nothing till November.
Okay, so
the band
it's a little
early. Is in November. I don't think I'm playing a little role playing next Monday night. That'll be awesome, but it doesn't involve any of you guys. So
screw us, I guess.
I don't think I have any plugs.
What about you, Adam?
Nope. Still looking to get a game night going.
We have past 2 hours, by the way. Just letting you know.
Congratulations. Where's the fanfare?
It's all another mixed reaction. Mixed reaction.
We are the dead island of
We are the dead island of podcasting. I'm gonna write that. I got so many possible names for shows. Dead island of podcasting.
It's good. Everyone's enjoying you writing that down.
There we go. So, I have nothing to plug myself.
No.
So let's just say, here's to getting on a regular schedule and keep doing the greatest podcast in the country.
I like pooping on a regular schedule.
Should we close it up? No, let's close it up. So 114 done, 115 coming soon to a computer near you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being fans. Horoscope coming at you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
Your Scope Show.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.